Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. It's time to stand up against big tech. Protect your data at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. The mass shooter in Lewiston, Maine is still at large. He has done extraordinary damage, 18 dead, 13 injured, lives ended, lives destroyed, families wrecked. In America, such events quickly devolve into the usual arguments. Those who argue for gun control blame the weapon carried by the shooter. They point out that he was carrying an AR-15 and that he had a high-capacity magazine. They say that Maine's gun laws are too loose and that if they had been tighter, the shooter never would have been able to obtain the weapon. Gun rights advocates argue, by contrast, that the shooter was mentally ill, that according to the Washington Post, he had, quote, so alarmed people around him that he was hospitalized and received mental health treatment this summer. People who knew the shooter told investigators that, quote, in recent months, he describes hearing disturbed voices and had increasingly become fixated on the bowling alley and the restaurant where he allegedly opened fire. It's unclear where the shooter got his weapon. If he did not have a criminal record, a federal background check would not have stopped him from getting a weapon anyway. But Maine also has a so-called yellow flag law that requires police to get a medical practitioner to evaluate someone with mental illness and identify them as a threat before the police can petition a judge to order a person's firearms seized. If ever somebody would have qualified for use of such a law, the shooter in this case would have qualified. In the end, the arguments for and against gun control aren't generally about the efficacy of any particular policy, at least not when it comes to mass shootings. Mass shootings are statistical outliers. The vast majority of homicides involving firearms in the United States are committed with handguns, not long guns. Active shooter events constitute a very small percentage of overall homicides. While the media tend to cover large-scale mass shootings like the Lewiston shooting, they tend to ignore mass shootings in cities like Chicago, despite the fact that firearms homicide rate for black Americans is some 14 times higher than that for white Americans. Now, the arguments for gun control tend to centralize around one particular argument, the argument that no one, quote-unquote, needs an AR-15, or any gun, for that matter. That's the argument that President Biden routinely makes.
For those brave right-wing Americans who say it's all about keeping America's independent and safe, if you want to fight against the country, you need an F-15. You need something a little more than a gun.
The idea we still allow semi-automatic weapons to be purchased is sick. It's just sick. It has no social redeeming value. Zero. None. Not a single solitary rationale for it except profit for the gun manufacturer.
If you want to protect yourself, get a double-barrel shotgun. Have the shells, a 12-gauge shotgun. I promise you, whoever's ever coming in is not going to... You don't need an AR-15. It's harder to aim, it's harder to use, and in fact, you don't need 30 rounds to protect yourself. Buy a shotgun.
And none of that is true. None of that is true. Also, notice his language there. When he says no one needs a semi-automatic weapon, that's like a normal handgun. That is a normal rifle. A semi-automatic weapon just means that every time you pull the trigger, the gun shoots. That's all. And then it reloads. That's what a semi-auto is. But is Biden right on principle? I spent part of my day yesterday with my wife and some friends at a gun range. While we were there, we worked with my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield 9mm, my Mossberg 500 shotgun, and yes, my AR-15. Why precisely were we at the gun range? Well, it's not because I love the gun range. It's because since the October 7th terror assault on the Gaza envelope, anti-Semitism across the West has skyrocketed. I currently have full-time security on myself, on my family, probably going to have that level of security the rest of our lives. But it's not just me. Pretty much every Jew I know who can obtain a weapon is now attempting to do so. And they should, as all law-abiding and responsible adults should. Owning a weapon is, in the end, the only protection against the darkness. The Jews, who were murdered, raped, and kidnapped in the Gaza envelope, were largely unarmed. Israel has extremely strict gun control laws. In the wake of the massacre, tens of thousands of Israelis are now seeking to arm themselves, as they should. Over 100,000 Israelis have reportedly submitted gun license applications. Closer to home, the story is the same. There are evil people who seek to do harm to innocent people. On Wednesday morning, for example, a man was arrested in Studio City, California, after breaking into a home with a mezuzah, that is a scroll on the doorpost of Jewish homes, marking it as a Jewish home. The man was screaming, "Free Palestine and kill Jews," and trying to kick in a door. Now New York Jews are being told to stay indoors by security sources over Shabbat, because pro-Hamas protesters decided to descend on Brooklyn on Shabbat afternoon, according to COLLive.com. Jews should avoid walking around Crown Heights, a heavily Orthodox neighborhood. According to the Anti-Defamation League, anti-Semitic incidents have increased by 388% this month, year over year. Why wouldn't every Jew want to carry under these circumstances? People of decency on all sides do want the same thing here: innocence protected and the dangerous disarmed. The question is how best to achieve that goal. Simple-minded statements about blanket weapons bans are not the answer, and those answers make even less sense, coming from many of the same people who see the police as the problem. So no, I'm not going to be giving up my AR-15 because a mentally ill person who never should have had weapons committed a heinous act of evil. In fact, that is precisely why I keep my weapons, because evil people doing evil things are not stopped by parchment barriers. In just a second, we'll get to the political response to the mass shooting in Maine, which of course has followed all the traditional hallmarks of the debate. First, the world has witnessed the heinous attack by Hamas terrorists against innocent Israeli citizens. This massive and devastating attack killed over 1,000 Israeli men, women, children, babies. Thousands more were injured, kidnapped, held hostage. This sworn enemy of Israel will stop at nothing to slaughter every single Jew and claim Israel as their own. But there is a beacon of hope amidst the chaos. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is on the ground right now, providing critical essentials like food, medicine, and other emergency supplies for vulnerable Jews who need immediate help. But the need is massive and urgent. This great organization needs your help right now. To donate, please go to benforthefellowship.org. Give as generously as you can. Write it down. That's benforthefellowship.org. Thank you. As per our usual arrangement, these shootings almost invariably involve somebody with obvious red flags, like obvious red flags. And then the media decide to ignore all the red flags in favor of the idea that 100 million gunners ought to give up their guns. Because in the end, the idea is that you should trust the government to protect you. Now, I don't trust the government for a couple of reasons. One, I don't think that they can protect me in the first instance. So where I live, great sheriff's department, excellent police department. Everybody, law enforcement is excellent. And you know what? It's going to take them a little while to respond to an actual bad thing happening. It doesn't matter how good they are. It will take them, at the very least, a few minutes to get to a place. And that is too late for the people who are in that place. And this is all very speculative until it happens in a place where you are, which is why at my synagogue, half the guys are carrying. We have security and we have half the guys carrying. That is a good thing. That is a worthwhile thing. And whenever somebody says, well, good guys with guns don't stop bad guys with guns, no, the answer is they do. It's always such a weird argument. They'll say things like, well, you know what really stops the bad guy with the gun is either he commits suicide or the cops stop him. You know why that is? Because there was no one on scene who had a gun. So they had to wait until the guy was done shooting a bunch of people for the cops to get there and shoot the guy. Or, what, are you going to wait there for the guy to commit suicide? Like, out of the kindness of his heart? You think that that's what's going to stop this thing? Okay, the reality is, once again, that every one of these situations involving a mass shooter is a situation in which the person has all sorts of indicators that they should not have had a gun in the first place, and somebody dropped the ball somewhere along the way, which really speaks to a lack of belief in the actual social fabric. Because if you see somebody around you who should not have a gun, somebody around you who has severe mental illness, you have an obligation, a moral obligation, to report that to the authorities, and the authorities have a moral obligation to try to get that person the care they need and remove from them the ability to have access to a weapon. That is your moral obligation. It is a thing that you should do. By the same token, it is immoral to remove from a law-abiding citizen who knows how to use a gun his means of self-defense. That is immoral. The first right any of us have is the right to self-defense and defense of others, obviously. Well, whenever one of these shootings happens, obviously emotions run really high, and you see some politicians who decide that they're going to shift their opinions on the political issue, not because new evidence has emerged, but because they are now emotionally struck by the issue. I'm not a big fan of this type of politics. If your positions changed radically, not because new evidence emerged that debunked your prior position, but because you are just responding more emotionally to the issue, that's not a good reason to shift your opinion on an issue. It isn't. Evidence is supposed to decide your positions on the issues. Well, there was a congressperson yesterday named Jared Golden, Democrat from Maine, who reversed course on gun control. Now, Maine is a Democrat-dominated state. It has a Democratic governor. It has one Democratic senator, one Republican senator, and it has a Democratic legislature. So here is Jared Golden, who is a Maine congressperson who represents Lewiston, now coming out in favor of gun control, which is a politically safe thing to do after a mass shooting, obviously. But again, there's no new evidence that's been provided that what form of gun control would have stopped this from happening. Seriously, what form of gun control? The guy apparently already had guns. We don't know how he obtained the guns. And we do know that he was literally institutionalized just a couple of months ago and somehow still had access to the weapons. What laws on the books would have changed this? Here's Jared Golden advocating for more laws anyway.
The time has now come for me to take responsibility for this failure, which is why I now call on the United States Congress to ban assault rifles like the one used by the sick perpetrator of this mass killing in my hometown of Lewiston, Maine. For the good of my community, I will work with any colleague to get this done in the time that I have left in Congress.
I don't really understand why he's saying it's his responsibility. What is the law that he failed to pass that would have prevented this? Chris Murphy of Connecticut, senator, long time advocate for gun control, he then actually stomped on this guy. That's also the way politics works. Even if you reverse position, then the people who reflect your new position will stomp on you. Here's Chris Murphy going after him yesterday.
I don't know Representative Golden personally. I know that he's a pretty conservative member of the House of Representatives, and he is coming to the same reality that many others have, which is that these weapons don't deserve to be on the streets of America. You can protect people's Second Amendment rights, but just make sure that folks don't have access to the weapons of war. But I wish it didn't take members of Congress to have to experience a mass shooting in their own congressional district to come to this reality. I'm glad that Representative Golden has made this decision. But why does it have to happen over and over and over again?
I mean, does he have a solution that would stop this from happening over and over and over again? There's some 50 people who were shot in Chicago over the weekend. No big news story about it because it's not as spectacular. It doesn't grab the headlines in the same way. Those were almost invariably with handguns. You don't see Chris Murphy talking about any of that. And again, this is the easy liar's way out of the dilemma. The real argument that people on the left, if they are honest, want to have is that no one should have a gun. That's the argument that they really want to have. They don't want to make that argument because they understand that it's a losing argument. But that is the argument that they actually do want to make. So instead, they decide that they're going to sort of reverse engineer an argument where the greatest danger to your life today is an AR-15. Well, if the greatest danger to my life is an AR-15 in the hands of a crazy person, you know what the greatest defense to my life is? An AR-15 in my hand so I can stop the crazy person. Senator Tim Kaine, he's doing the same sort of thing from Virginia. He says we have a sickness in this country. It doesn't happen anywhere else. We have a sickness in this country. First of all, it's not true. It doesn't happen anywhere else. There are mass shootings. There are terror assaults. This sort of stuff does happen in other countries. But if there is a sickness in this country, part of that sickness involves denying sickness, denying mental illness, pretending that mental illness is just different brain orientation, as opposed to what it really is in many cases, a danger to self or others. Here is Senator Kaine.
Anything like this just reopens a wound that never heals for all Virginians. When we see a report of this kind of shooting tragedy, we all remember that tragedy at Virginia Tech and so many since then. And it just sickens your soul. I mean, we have a sickness in this country around gun violence, and it's a uniquely American problem. Many other nations don't have the problem that we have. States, including Virginia, have finally taken meaningful steps to deal with it, but Congress thus far has generally been unwilling to.
Again, many of these mass shootings have occurred in California, which has extraordinarily strong gun laws. I used to live there. Meanwhile, Karine Jean-Pierre on the federal level, she's doing the same thing. She says, let's work to ban assault weapons. Again, the weapon is not the problem. The person who's carrying the weapon is the problem. Everyone knows this.
Let's work together to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Let's work together to enact universal background checks, require safe storage of guns, and keep guns out of the hands of criminals and dangerous individuals who have no business being armed with a weapon of war.
Okay, but those people have no business being armed at all. At all. The weapon is not the person, as always, is the issue. And again, there is a counter side to this, which is that law-abiding people who are legitimately afraid and should be legitimately afraid of bad people in the night need to own weapons. I am one of those people. My wife is one of those people. My wife is, by nature, a very gentle person. She is not somebody who's particularly comfortable around firearms. She's learning to use a firearm. She's buying a firearm because she wants to be more comfortable so she feels safer. And she is not wrong. We get a lot of threats. She's not wrong. We'll get to more on this momentarily first.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, switching to MediShare can save you even more than usual on top of what you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, especially given how inflation is affecting us. And MediShare is the affordable, reliable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves about $500 a month. You might save even more. And MediShare is a Christian community that's been sharing each other's healthcare costs for 30 years now, and they're making it easier than ever. Apply by October 31st, and you can save an additional $150 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. It's 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE. 844-53-BIBLE.
Well, folks, frequently the argument that's made about guns, assault weapons, all the rest, it really boils down to, you don't deserve a gun. You just don't. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hey, what's going on, Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday, November 10th, at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March on of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more. Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th Birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So the left has hit upon its key argument with regard to gun control. That is, you don't deserve a gun. That is the case made by a person named Tyler Austin Harper over at The Atlantic today. The title of the piece is How Much Blood Is Your Fun Worth? I saw the gun violence epidemic and my relation to it as a gun owner as an abstraction. Then a mass shooting happened in the little city where I work. This is a person who's from Lewiston, Maine. The entire article is about how this person is a gun owner and how he was always in favor of gun control, but now he's really strongly in favor of gun control. He says, the honest truth is that I've always viewed the gun violence epidemic as an abstraction remote from my own life choices. Like many gun owners, I'd always supported stronger gun control. If it requires written and practical exams and dozens of hours of training to earn the right to drive a motor vehicle, I've never understood why the same should not apply to firearms. But my views on gun control have also been wonkish, academic in nature. It's something I care about and have written about, but have never felt deeply. That changed yesterday. Okay, so he has stronger feelings right now. And then he gets to this. If you had asked me before yesterday why I own guns, I would have fed you the same line I'd fed my liberal friends and my wife, and above all myself for years. I would have told you I own guns for hunting, for protection, for blasting clay pigeons out of cloudless October skies. I would have told you I own guns because I come from a gun family, and guns are some of the only things I have left from the people I love. I would have told you about the rifle my holler-born Great Depression surviving grandmother kept under the bed, the 20-gauge my grandfather used to bring home Thanksgiving turkeys. I would have told you I own guns because I'm a hunter, and I own guns because I write things that sometimes make people angry. But it is only now that gun violence has visited my little corner of the world that I have been forced to confront reality, a truth that has been there all along but that I have refused to admit. I own guns because I like them, and because I'm American, and I'm allowed to, and no one stops me. I own guns because gun violence was something that happened anywhere else and not somewhere close to me. He says that he is responsible. And he says yesterday's events haven't made me change my mind about being a gun owner. The reasons that motivated me to own guns in the first place are no different than yesterday. The shooting in Lewiston changed my mind about being a quiet gun owner. I've spent years of my life making apologies on behalf of my gun nut acquaintances. So I just have a question. He's not giving up his guns. Right? I mean, in the end, this guy is not going to give up his guns, but he is going to lecture you about your guns. That is the idea here. He says the reason that people own AR-15s is because they are fun or because they are a toy. For some people, maybe that's true. But here's the bottom line. I have a right to own an AR-15. My reason happens to be a pretty good reason, which is self-defense and defense of others. But I have that right is broader than that. And the reason it's broader than that is because I can't prove to the authorities that my need outweighs their need to take away my gun. I know this because I know this for a fact. When I lived in Los Angeles, I was one of the top targets of anti-Semitic death threats in 2015, 2016. I used to get death threats all the time. I knew fairly intimately the people at the FBI in Los Angeles because they'd been to my house more than once in order to pick up, at least one time, powder from my house. Other times to investigate other mail that had come to the house. I know the FBI agents where I live here too. Okay, but the difference is that in Florida, I can get my gun, I can go out, I can train with it, I can get good at it, and I can carry it, because it turns out that the threat is not just to me in my home. When I was in Los Angeles, let me tell you the process that I had to go through. This is why the right is broader than just my need, because it turns out that when the authorities define the need, very often it just obliterates the right. When I was in Los Angeles, I literally went to the LAPD, and I applied for a concealed carry permit. Concealed carry permits in Los Angeles are almost impossible to get, really, really difficult to get. You have to demonstrate a need. What does that mean? It means you have to demonstrate a need that is beyond the response time of the LAPD. So I set up a meeting with LAPD. I go in. I bring in a binder. I'm talking a binder this thick of death threats. Okay, a thick binder of death threats. I sit down with somebody working for the LAPD, and I start walking through the death threats. They say, okay, we'll get back to you. A couple weeks later, they deny me the permit. Why? Because they say that all those death threats, well, they haven't actually acted on them yet. And I said, right, that's the entire point. They have not. But when they do, I want to be ready. In fact, I pointed out to them that the FBI had arrested a person who was sending death threats to me and Donald Trump Jr., among other people. They'd arrested that person. That person had a picture of Mein Kampf in their home. That person had body armor and a map of the general area where we lived. And he was pretty much ready to go. And the LAPD said yes, but he was arrested. Which is a full catch-22. We catch the guy, that means you're safe. We don't catch the guy, well, you shouldn't have a gun because, after all, we could have caught the guy. This is why the Second Amendment exists. And in an increasingly violent world, particularly for people like me, you want to talk about things getting personal? Gun ownership is personal to me. This person says gun violence is personal to him because it racks the community where he lived. Because gun violence is personal, because violence and threats are personal, gun ownership is personal to me. And I don't believe I'm the only one in America who feels that way. I think the founders felt the same thing. All right, coming up, we'll get to the reason why so many people across the country, particularly Jews, are buying guns right now. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have that story inside you just waiting to be shared with the world? We have great news. NaNoWriMo is coming. This November is National Novel Writing Month, and the local writing community is gathering to support local writers and stores. Find out how to get involved by heading to NaNoWriMo.org or finding the Writing Roots team on social media. By working together, this November may be the month your dream becomes a reality.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike? Why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Explore the wonder and science of wintry landscapes at Turtle Bay's newest museum exhibition, Snow. Tiny Crystals Global Impact, on display September 16th through December 31st at Turtle Bay Museum. This exhibit dives deep into the environment, culture, adaptations, and sciences, all about snow as a valuable resource. Great for all ages. Snow. Tiny Crystals Global Impact is presented by Carolina Giramonti in memory of Nick L. and Claudia Giramonti. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, most notably getting rid of the Dominion voting machines, which we have proved are hackable. For the first time in a long time, we are going to have fair elections. By using volunteers in the process to hand count ballots, we will save money, and to date, we have over 400 people signed up. Fair elections, saving money, working hard for you. Vote no on the cry recall. Vote for Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Step into savings at Design Time and Tile during National Karastan Month and bring timeless luxury and sophisticated style to your home for the holidays. Enjoy the style and durability of environmentally friendly Karastan luxury carpet. Easy to clean with permanent built-in stain and soil resistance, or choose from the flawless craftsmanship of Karastan Luxcraft Luxury Vinyl and Belalux Hardwood Collections. Live beautifully with Karastan and Design Time and Tile, voted 2022 Best of the North State, Clear Creek Road and Highway 273, or visit our website, designtimestore.com.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Are you ready for some scare fun? Well, then come join Reading Rotary Haunted House at the Monolith on October 19th through the 22nd and October 26th through the 29th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. Sponsored by Wind River, SPI, and Bud Light. There's going to be food trucks and beer trucks and lots of fun scares to be had. Tickets are available at the door or online at readinghauntedhouse.org. If you'd like to also scare others, sign up at readinghauntedhouse.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
term.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. It is no shock that Jews across the nation are starting to buy guns in large numbers. When I talk about the threats and the reason that we own guns, the reason that why everybody in my neighborhood who didn't already own a gun has bought a gun, why people are buying additional guns, why everybody's getting trained, John Podhoretz has a piece in the New York Post talking about the situation in New York. Quote, a pro-Palestinian protest is scheduled for 3 p.m. Saturday in front of the Brooklyn Museum. That's a mile from 770 Eastern Parkway, the headquarters of the largest ultra-Orthodox sect in the world, the Lubavitch Hasidim. Roughly 20,000 observant Jews live around 770 in the neighborhood called Crown Heights. Jews should definitely avoid the area, says an Orthodox site called COL Live. They say a security source told them, quote, there's no intel at this time in which direction the protest will lead. Locals should definitely stay away from Eastern Parkway in that area. The Jews of Brooklyn feel they are at risk, and obviously they feel that they cannot be protected. That is not a shock either, considering what has happened over the course of the past week or so. We saw a bunch of students at Cooper Union in Greenwich Village who were barricaded inside the library as a bunch of pro-Hamas protesters were outside banging on the doors. You've seen this sort of stuff, this sort of threatening stuff happening routinely around the nation, unfortunately. In Tulane yesterday, Tulane University in New Orleans, which is a lot of Jews go to Tulane, including my old friend Andrew Breitbart went to Tulane. At Tulane, violence broke out. It broke out because somebody decided to basically dress up like a terrorist and then drive through the campus. There's a person who decided to wear the keffiyeh around the face, looking as though they are a terror threat, and then attempted to start burning an Israeli flag. And a Jewish student presumably tried to take the Israeli flag away from him and got beaten up by the crowd. Here's what that looked like. You can see for those who can't watch video, you're seeing, you can see the part where this guy drove up looking like a terrorist, but he drove up looking like something directly out of the Gaza Strip. And tried to burn an Israeli flag. Somebody tried to stop him, and then this student ended up having to go to the hospital. You know, we've been seeing these massive marches all over the United States in favor of Hamas. If that doesn't scare the hell out of Jews, I'm not sure exactly what will. It doesn't mean that Jews are going to become shy about it. Certainly, I haven't become shy about it. But it does mean that things are pretty scary out there, and everybody is taking precautions. Meanwhile, the good news is that the hard left is coming to the defense of Hamas. Harvard has now created a task force to support students experiencing doxing, harassment, and online security issues following backlash against students allegedly affiliated with the statement that held Israel entirely responsible for violence in the Israel-Hamas conflict. The new task force will be in operation until November 3rd. So basically, there are a bunch of students who decided to sign a statement in favor of Hamas. There was a truck that went around Harvard with their faces on it showing exactly who had signed this, and Harvard is to make sure that everybody's feelings are protected. It created an entire task force to help the students who signed a statement in favor of Hamas. According to an email, the Dean of Students Office will lead the task force alongside the Harvard University Information Technology, Harvard University PD, Counseling and Mental Health Service, Office of General Counsel, Mignon Center for Career Services, Office of Undergraduate Research and Fellowship, and the Office of Undergraduate Education. So that's very encouraging stuff. And Jews are being threatened all over the world, but we've got to make sure that the people who join the threats, those are the people who are protected. On Monday, the so-called PSC, the Harvard Undergraduate Palestine Solidarity Committee, posted a letter from alumni to Harvard administration on their Instagram page, saying, quote, it is deplorable that at the time of this writing, the Harvard administration has yet to meaningfully criticize or condemn the public doxing campaigns threatening students, primarily targeting marginalized students who are Palestinian, Black, Arab, South Asian, Muslim, undocumented, and or international. And then they call for Harvard to make an apology. So instead, they set up a task force in favor of these folks. Yes, it is indeed a threatening time. We'll get to more on that in just a second. But first,
are you tired of buying products from woke companies that hate your guts and your values? Well, now you don't have to. Join the over 200,000 Americans who have made the switch to Jeremy's Razors. Get your razors, hair care, soap, and more at jeremysrazors.com today. Oh, and we sell he, him, and she, her chocolate bars as well. One of them has nuts.
Meanwhile, sitting members of Congress with links to Hamas continue to defend their radical Jew hatred. So Rashida Tlaib, yesterday, she was hit with a censor resolution sponsored by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Obviously, she should be censored. The truth is she should be expelled, considering her support for terrorist organizations. But she released a statement, quote, Marjorie Taylor Greene's unhinged resolution is deeply Islamophobic and attacks peaceful Jewish anti-war advocates. I am proud to stand in solidarity with Jewish peace advocates calling for a ceasefire and an end to the violence. Okay, by Jewish peace advocates, she means radical left-wingers who wear their titular Judaism as a badge to protect them from the fact that they are standing for Hamas. She says, I will not be bullied. I will not be dehumanized. I will not be silenced. I will continue to call for ceasefire, for the immediate delivery of humanitarian aid, for the release of hostages and those arbitrarily detained, and for every American to be brought home. I will continue to work for a just and lasting peace. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, she is a liar, obviously. Not only is she a liar, she continues to maintain that Israel hit that hospital. She's never going to forgive Israel, as they say online, for not hitting the hospital. Ilhan Omar immediately came out in support of Rashida Tlaib. Quote, we lovingly call Rashida Tlaib Mama Bear because she is loving and protective. Asterisk of Hamas. She shows humanity to colleagues who constantly dehumanize her and those who share our faith. Yeah, she if there's one person who shows humanity to others, it's Rashida Tlaib. She loves the people she represents regardless of who they are. Well, I mean, I assume she does love Hamas fans because she definitely represents them well. I am my sister's keeper, says Ilhan Omar. I will walk through fire for her. I admire her leadership and conviction. People can harass or try to censure her. She will never be forced into submission. None of us will. Oh, such heroism. Meanwhile, Ayanna Pressley, another adjunct member of the squad, the Ringo Starr of the squad, she also put out a statement saying Rashida Tlaib is doing what her district elected her to do, advocate for a better, safer, more just world by lying repeatedly about Israel and being a radical anti-Semite, of course. Now, here's the thing. Rashida Tlaib has alleged links to the Hamas terror organization. According to Canary Mission, they put out a report just this week pointing out that Tlaib has extensive funds tied to the Hamas terrorist group. The group says that Tlaib used her Facebook group, PAC USA, Palestinian American Congress USA, for her congressional campaign. That group shared pro-terrorism, anti-Semitic Nazi propaganda content. It had 12,000 members in June 2020. She also hired the founder of the group as chairman of her campaign's finance committee. That person is said to have enabled the founder to promote 12 fundraisers across 8 states. Additionally, according to Canary Mission, Tlaib founded the group Black for Palestine, an organization they describe as the anti-American, anti-Israel, pro-terror hate group. The group allegedly works alongside the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine, which is a foreign terrorist organization in the United States. That group has apparently posted in support of registered terrorist organizations more than 100 times. Tlaib has links to at least 3 Hamas-linked activists, whom she employed to fundraise for her 2018 election campaign. Those would be Salah Sarsour, Rafik Jaber, and Abdel Basset Hamayel. Sarsour was actually jailed for being connected with Hamas in 1995. She co-hosted an event with Tlaib in 2018. Jaber has apparently admitted to helping distribute Hamas's propaganda in the United States. In 2003, he testified he directed 2 Hamas front groups to promote the Holy Land Foundation in every way we can and admitting to distributing, quote, probe martyrdom materials that celebrated the killing of Jews. Hamayel has worked for multiple Hamas-linked organizations in the United States. So that is Rashida Tlaib, your sitting congresswoman. And meanwhile, the Biden administration is attempting to grasp its way forward with regard to the situation in the Middle East. And they're sending some mixed signals. Some of those signals are very good. Some of those signals are less good. So John Kirby yesterday, to his credit, the national security spokesperson, to his credit, yesterday he was asked about casualty numbers in the Gaza Strip. And he gave one of the strongest answers actually I've ever seen anyone, Republican or Democrat, give from the podium on the lies told by Hamas and its allies.
The president went further to say that innocents will die and that this is the price of the war. You also said that.
I have indeed.
Yeah. Don't you think this is insensitive? They're being very harsh criticism about it. For example, the Council of American Islamic Relations said it was deeply disturbed and called on the president to apologize. Would the president apologize and does he regret say something like that?
What's harsh is the way Hamas is using people as human shields. What's harsh is taking a couple of hundred hostages and leaving families in anxious waiting and worrying to figure out where their loved ones are. What's harsh is dropping in on a music festival and slaughtering a bunch of young people just trying to enjoy an afternoon. I could go on and on. That's what's harsh. That is what's harsh.
He happens to be correct about all of that. And yet, at the same time, the media continue to parrot the lies that Hamas tells. And they are liars. I mean, it is amazing. It is truly amazing to watch the PR battle that has erupted on social media. First of all, there's no question that algorithmically, Hamas supporters are getting a giant boost right now. There's just no question that that's happening on a wide variety of platforms. Unfortunately, I think including X, but certainly including TikTok. Beyond that, Hamas, I mean, they just openly lie about things, so much so that yesterday a Hamas spokesperson was on the BBC. The BBC, of course, is a Hamas-friendly outlet. They're perfectly willing to run with nearly anything Hamas says. But even the BBC was like, what? So here's what happened. The Hamas spokesperson tries to claim that they didn't kill civilians. The BBC points out, you did. You killed 1,500 civilians. And the Hamas guy gets up and walks out.
It was a military operation. It was directed for military purposes, for the military sites.
So hundreds of civilians were killed.
Sorry. And for the military soldiers who imposed sanctions and collective punishment against our people. And I think from the first moment we declared that this operation was not directed to the civilians. But I can confirm and assure again and again that there was no command to kill any civilian.
How do you justify killing people as they sleep, you know, families? How do you justify killing
hundreds of people? I want to stop this interview.
Of course he wants to stop the interview, because it's the most obvious question in the entire world. By the way, they found materials literally on the bodies of Hamas terrorists, telling them to rape, telling them to murder. I mean, this is like, they're liars. They're liars. And the fact there's so many people who are willing to parrot the lies is the full-scale anti-Semitism. So at the same exact time that these lies are being told, the Biden administration, again, there's a lot of mixed signals. Joe Biden is meeting with American Muslim leaders to try to placate their fury over the Gaza war. That is according to the Times of Israel. He held an unpublicized meeting with Muslim American community leaders. The move comes amid growing fury among Arab and Muslim Americans over Biden's support for Israel's military response to the Hamas onslaught. The president came under particular fire yesterday for saying he has no confidence in the death tally from Hamas. Okay, the fact that Biden is meeting with all of these supposedly angry leaders is totally crazy. If you're angry about Israel responding to Hamas, I have a solution for you. Call for Hamas to surrender. Hamas surrenders, it's over today. Today. It all ends right now. All Hamas' leadership have to do, come out with your hands up. That's all. And then this is all over. The hostages go free. The electricity gets turned back on. That's the next thing that happens. Everyone knows this. But instead, Joe Biden is meeting with these American Muslim leaders. And he's also promulgating, again, the entire left continues to promulgate the lie that the only way out of this in the end is going to be a two-state solution. That there are actually millions in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, in Judea and Samaria, that there are millions of Palestinians who are just itching for peace, that every government they've ever had actually has betrayed them, every single one of them, which is a weird take because, you know, we have tape from places like Ramallah. Here is a protest yesterday in Ramallah. Ramallah is in the West Bank. Ramallah is not in the Gaza Strip. It is the capital of the Palestinian Authority. There was a massive protest yesterday in Ramallah. You can see it's all young men, literally all young men, zero females, all young men. And they are chanting, quote, "If you have a rifle, you should either kill a Jew or give it to Hamas." That's what they're chanting in Arabic. If you have a rifle, you should either kill a Jew or give it to Hamas. These are the so-called peace partners. The West can keep lying to itself, but they are in fact lying. In action, the West is going to have to respond. In action, the West is going to have to respond because, again, you can pretend it away, but then reality hits you square in the face. That's what's happening to the Biden administration with regard to Iran right now. First, the world has witnessed the heinous attack by Hamas terrorists against innocent Israeli citizens. This massive and devastating attack killed over 1,000 Israeli men, women, children, babies. Thousands more were injured, kidnapped, held hostage. This sworn enemy of Israel will stop at nothing to slaughter every single Jew and claim Israel as their own. But there is a beacon of hope amidst the chaos. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is on the ground right now, providing critical essentials like food, medicine, and other emergency supplies for vulnerable Jews who need immediate help. But the need is massive and urgent. This great organization needs your help right now. To donate, please go to benforthefellowship.org. Give as generously as you can. Write it down. That's benforthefellowship.org. Thank you. Already coming up, America has now allowed the Iranian foreign minister to arrive in the United States and attack us. Which, why? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle. From your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between, we make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary, you just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You get to enjoy a free beverage with free Wi-Fi and earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that is a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher from the novella Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Directed by Lawrence Stanfield, a new and shocking twist on the classic tale of depravity, lust, love, and horror. See two sides of a psyche battle each other in a deadly game of cat and mouse to determine who shall be the master and who his slave. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and enjoy the store Reading. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, October 20th through November 4th, sponsored by Audiology Associates of Reading, this station, and other amazing sponsors.
Original Butcher.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Why exactly is it that the United States feels a necessity to allow the Iranian foreign minister, emissary of a terror state, to come to the United States and then threaten us on our soil? So yesterday, the Biden administration, for some unknown reason, decided to allow the Iranian foreign minister to arrive on American shores and then threaten the United States from the United Nations. An institution that should go the way of the dodo bird. We should blow up the building. We should salt the earth. The UN is a garbage organization. It's been a garbage organization for decades. It's a mouthpiece for third world dictatorships. In any case, here's Iran's foreign minister yesterday warning the United States that if Israel goes into the Gaza Strip, the fire will spread. Well, by the way, if they really want to threaten the United States, listen, we don't want war with Iran because it costs time and resources and money and people. We don't want any of that. But let's just be clear about this. If Iran started up with the United States, that war would be over in about a millisecond. The United States military is not to be trifled with. And the fact that you have these tin pot morons who are out there threatening the United States is deeply insulting and speaks to the weakness that they perceive in the American body politic and among our political class. Here's Iran's foreign minister.
Today in New York and the United Nations, I say frankly to the American statesmen who are now managing the genocide in Palestine that we do not welcome to expansion of the war in the region. But I warn, if the genocide in Gaza continues, they will not be spared from this fire. It is our home, and West Asia is our region.
West Asia is their region. They own it. Leave it alone. By that, they mean presumably they also want the destruction of the state of Israel. Well, as it turns out, Iran has now been targeting Americans throughout the Middle East. In fact, over the course of the last few weeks, there have been double-digit strikes on American facilities by Iranian proxy groups. John Kirby was asked about that yesterday. He said, how exactly is Joe Biden pushing back on Iran? First, Kirby admitted that U.S. troops have actually sustained serious brain damage from these particular strikes. Here he was yesterday admitting the situation.
The president said that if Iran or its proxies attacked
U.S. troops that we would respond. What is he waiting for exactly?
He did say that.
Where's the response?
He said that. And he said that we will...
Repeating the warning is the response?
Jack, come on now.
It's not a question.
I'm not going to telegraph punches here from the podium. We have responded and retaliated in the past, quite aggressively, in fact, back in March. And as the president said, we will not hesitate to protect our troops and our facilities, but we're going to do it at a time of our choosing and a manner of our choosing. And the decision to do it, if we do it, is his as commander-in-chief and his alone.
Okay, so what exactly is that response? Well, yesterday we found out a little bit. The U.S. carried out airstrikes, according to CNN, targeting two facilities linked to Iranian-backed militias in eastern Syria on Thursday, according to a statement from Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, following a series of drone and rocket attacks against U.S. forces in the region. The statement said the facilities have been used by the IRCG, that would be the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard, and affiliated groups. The strikes were carried out by a pair of F-16 fighter jets using precision-guided munitions. They targeted a weapons and ammo storage facility in Abu Kamal near the border between Syria and Iraq. Now, Austin is attempting to downplay the conflict because he doesn't want to be drawn into an open conflict here that costs, as we say, time, money, and blood. Austin described the strikes as narrowly tailored in self-defense. He said they were different from the ongoing conflict in Gaza, which, of course, they lie. I mean, what's happening right now is that Iran is prodding at Americans in an attempt to get America to tell Israel to stop in the Gaza Strip, which is not going to happen. He directly accused Iran, then, of having a role in the attacks on U.S. forces, saying, quote, Iran wants to hide its hand and deny its roles in these attacks against our forces. We will not let them. So, again, the Biden administration overall doing the right thing, you know, pushing Iran off the ball, telling them do not screw. But when the rubber is going to meet the road, that's going to be if Israel goes into Gaza, which presumably will happen over the course of the next week or so by all available information. When Israel goes into the Gaza Strip, if Hezbollah opens up a second front on the Israeli border, will the United States stop Hezbollah from doing that? Because Hezbollah is an existential danger to the state of Israel. It's not just that they have 200,000 rockets pointed at various sites around Israel, threatening tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Israeli lives. They also have terror tunnels that presumably strike into Israel as well. They have sleeper cells that they've been working with in Judea and Samaria, the West Bank. If the United States wishes to keep that conflict contained, the United States is going to have to get directly involved probably at that point, because if they don't, then Israel's going to go whole hog. It's either going to be the United States containing the thing, or it's going to be Israel just devastating its opposition and maybe bringing in Iran, which then may go regional. That right there is the biggest problem. So the Biden administration needs to continue to demonstrate a stiff upper lip and a stiff spine. If they do, this thing will remain contained, which is in the best interest, certainly, of the United States. And meanwhile, Mike Johnson is the new Speaker of the House. Democrats are moving to try to undercut him as Speaker, suggesting that he is an extremist. Of course, this is their next move. I think they're going to have a tough time with this because Mike Johnson is a very personable fellow. Jamie Raskin, Democrat from Maryland, he is now accusing Johnson of opposing democracy and suggesting at the same time he wants to ban the regulatory state. By the way, those two things are in conflict. Banning the regulatory state means, in a republic, it means upholding democracy. The regulatory state is not elected. It is appointed. So he doesn't even understand the contradiction of what he's saying here.
New Speaker Mike Johnson, your thoughts.
Well, you cannot get to the right of Mike Johnson in the MAGA caucus. It's just it's inconceivable that you could get to the right of him. I mean, there are people who are definitely more lunatic than he is. And he's got very good manners and he's an able lawyer. But when we say he opposed democracy, we know that from his giving a legal gloss and finish to all of Donald Trump's arguments about electoral fraud and making the independent state legislature doctrine argument, which the Supreme Court fortunately did not bite on.
Good luck with this argument that Johnson is a wild extremist, but this is the line the media are going to take. I don't think that it's going to have very much play. Meanwhile, in other stupid Congress news, again, our Congress is filled with dullards, Jamal Bowman has now pled guilty to pulling a fire alarm. Remember that time when he claimed that he didn't know a fire alarm was a fire alarm? He thought it was going to open the doors? Well, now we actually have tape of what he did. He didn't even try to walk out the doors. Remember, he said he thought that if he pulled the fire alarm, it wouldn't delay the congressional voting or anything, that it would allow him to walk out these doors. Here's Jamal Bowman. He walks up to the doors. He removes signs saying not to, and then he pulls the fire alarm. And then he walks away. He doesn't even try to get out the doors. So that means that Jamal Bowman lied to all of you, and he is a disgrace to his office. But we knew that already, simply from many of the positions that he has taken. All right, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. The hunt in Maine for a suspected mass shooter is over. Police found the body of the 40-year-old man around 7:45 tonight, found in the woods near Lisbon with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Governor Janet Mills said it's been a long 48 hours involving over 300 law enforcement officials.
I stand here tonight to simply report that the Maine State Police have located the body of Robert Card in Lisbon. He is dead. I've called President Biden to inform him about this news. I've informed Senator King, Senator Collins, Representative Pingree, and Representative Golden.
A bulletin sent to police across the country shortly after the attack Wednesday said Card had been committed to a mental health facility for 2 weeks this past summer after hearing voices and threatening to shoot up a military base. Israel appears to be on the move.
The Israeli army says its ground forces are expanding their activity in the Gaza Strip as it moves closer to a full-on ground invasion of the territory. Internet and phone services have collapsed in Gaza under intensified Israeli bombardment, largely cutting off its 2.3 million people from the outside world and each other. Israel has amassed hundreds of thousands of troops along the Gaza border. Ken Lorman reporting.
The latest Israel-Hamas war has quickly become the deadliest and most destructive in the long history of the bitter enemies. The Biden administration is recommending U.S. citizens leave Lebanon while flights are still available. The advisory comes as the security situation in the Middle East remains unknown. The conflict between Hamas and Israel continues. The State Department included a list of flights from Beirut's airport for Americans looking to leave. More on these stories at townhall.com.
10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of my show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile like I did, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service teams make switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Gorka or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code G-O-R-K-A. Join me. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/GORKA. 972-PATRIOT.
A member of the defending Super Bowl champions has been sidelined by the league following his arrest. Correspondent Gethin Kolbaugh reports.
The NFL placed Kansas City Chiefs receiver Justin Ross on the commissioner exempt list 3 days after he pleaded not guilty to charges of misdemeanor domestic battery and criminal damage to property. Ross is not allowed to practice or attend games while on the list. Ross was released from jail Tuesday after posting a $2,500 bond. He is due again in court on December 4th. The Chiefs said they were aware of his arrest but had no comment. The 23-year-old has been active in their first 7 games but has just 3 catches for 34 yards. I'm Gethin Kolbaugh.
Dozens of pro-Palestine protesters have reportedly been arrested at a large sit-in at Grand Central Station in New York City. Several hundred people gathered during that protest. News and analysis at townhall.com. COVID-19 treatments won't be free for much longer.
Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer is setting the price for a 5-day treatment of Paxlovid at just under $1,400. But Americans can still access the pills at no cost for now. And the less commonly used COVID-19 treatment, Lagevrio, will hit the market next week. The federal government says millions of free taxpayer-funded courses of the pills will remain at pharmacies and at doctor's offices. People on private insurance may start to notice co-pays for the treatments once their pharmacy or doctor's office runs out of the government supply. People on Medicaid, Medicare, and those who don't have medical insurance will not pay any out-of-pocket costs for the treatment through the end of the year. I'm Shelley Adler.
FDA-funded studies found that older adults have a higher stroke risk if they got last year's COVID booster at the same time they got a flu shot. More on these stories at townhall.com.
But join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hey, hey, welcome. This is The Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you just gotten a VPN yet? At ExpressVPN right now. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro. Well, folks, we begin with some terrible breaking news today. A massacre has now occurred in Maine. The gunman, we don't mention the name of the mass shooters on this show, but the gunman had been committed to a mental hospital after hearing voices, apparently, and then he was set free. So once again, we have a situation with a mass shooting where presumably law-abiding gun owners will now be blamed. There will be an attempt, a widespread attempt by members of the media, by members of our political class to take guns away from the law-abiding because they didn't take a gun away from somebody who literally was not supposed to have a gun. Apparently, according to the UK Daily Mail, this person grappled with mental health issues, recently reported hearing voices and threatening to shoot up the military base where he served. He was committed to a mental health facility over the summer for a couple of weeks. He also had a criminal background check in 2007. In 2007, he was charged with a misdemeanor offense for DUI. He was found guilty of that as well. He was forced to pay a $500 fine. He spent 48 hours in a cell. It is not clear where exactly he is politically at this point. I mean, people are going to try and link it to his politics because in March, he liked a social media post from Donald Trump Jr. And he posted some memes from March talking about how gun ownership was not the problem. He liked a post by Dinesh D'Souza at one point that talked about how banning assault weapons was a bad idea. This obviously was a person with mental illness. And I'm not saying that because it serves a particular agenda, but just because that happens to be the fact. That was, by the way, the notice that was put out by the Maine Information and Analysis Center, that's law enforcement over there, calling for his capture while he was still at large. They put out a notice saying, quote, according to law enforcement, the shooter recently reported mental health issues, including hearing voices and threats to shoot up the National Guard base in Saco, Maine. This person was reported to have been committed to a mental health facility. Person is a trained firearms instructor and Army Reservist stationed out of that particular city. Apparently, he opened fire at two separate locations, killing at least 22 people and injuring over 60. So we'll bring you the latest on that as it continues to develop. And meanwhile, big question has arrived in American politics at this point, and that is, why is it that on campus there is such a thing as, like, Queers for Palestine? Where is that coming from? They hate America, and they hate the West. That is the common thread uniting radical college students with terrorist members of Hamas. It's why we see marches by Queers for Palestine, despite the fact that queers would be summarily murdered in any Palestine. Their differences don't matter. They are, in the words of radical revolutionary author Frantz Fanon, the wretched of the earth, rising up to smite the hierarchies of power. In 1961, Frantz Fanon, a black radical member of the Algerian National Liberation Front, put forth a shockingly violent treatise calling for the revolution of the colonized. Pointing out the evils of colonial administration, Fanon didn't merely call for an end to colonialism, a la Gandhi. Instead, he called for violence, which he saw as purifying in all of its varied forms. His book, The Wretched of the Earth, posited that revolutionary violence would usher in the new man, free of the evils of the West. Decolonization, he wrote, is always a violent event. Decolonization, he wrote, which sets out to change the order of the world, is clearly an agenda for total disorder. In its bare reality, Fanon wrote, decolonization reeks of red-hot cannonballs and bloody knives. Violence, disorder, bloody knives. That's the essence of Fanon's decolonization. The colonized must take everything from the colonizers in the name of restoring himself as a human being. Fanon writes, quote, "The gaze that the colonized subject casts at the colonist's sector is a look of lust, a look of envy, dreams of possession, every type of possession, of sitting at the colonist's table and sleeping in his bed, preferably with his wife. The colonized man is an envious man." Colonialism, he says, justifies any response. In fact, it requires any response. The West must be destroyed, for the West has colonized. Quote, "When the colonized hear a speech on Western culture, they draw their machetes, or at least check to see they are close at hand," Fanon says. Such hatred of colonial power was at least somewhat understandable in Algeria, but Fanon wasn't making the case for revolutionary violence merely in Algeria. He was actually making the case for revolutionary violence pretty much everywhere. The person who made that clear was existentialist and Marxist Jean-Paul Sartre, the French intellectual. Sartre's introduction to Fanon's Wretched of the Earth makes the case not only that the colonized have an ultimate right to violence, but that the entire West must be collapsed from within for its great sins. Violence, says Sartre, quote, "is man reconstructing himself. Killing a European is killing two birds with one stone, eliminating in one go oppressor and oppressed, leaving one man dead and the other man free. And the only honorable thing for the West to do is join in on its cultural suicide." Quote, "You who are so liberal, so humane, who take the love of culture to the point of affectation, you pretend to forget that you have colonies where massacres are committed in your name." Sartre writes, Fanon reveals to his comrades, especially to those who remain a little too westernized, the solidarity of the metropolitans with their colonial agents. Sartre says that he has carried Fanon's, quote, "dialectic through to its conclusion. We too, peoples of Europe, we are being decolonized," meaning the colonist inside every one of us is surgically extracted in a bloody operation. "We must all recognize that we are complicit in, quote, a 1,000-year-old oppression. Our beloved values are losing their features. If you take a closer look, there's not one that isn't tainted with blood." So, how do we recover? By joining in on the violence against our own civilization. Violence, says Sartre, like Achilles' spear, can heal the wounds it has inflicted. So, who can we tell who our enemies are? Well, we simply attack the powerful. The colonizers are the powerful. The colonized are the powerless. Therefore, the powerful must be colonizers, and the powerless, their victims. This is Sartre's logic. This is, for example, how Israel, the ultimate case of decolonization across human history, after the return of a native population to its homeland and its battle to throw off the shackles of the British Mandate, became today's hottest, quote, decolonization cause. Sartre's radical call has been taken up sporadically both at home and abroad. As critical theorist Homi Bhabha points out in his foreword to Fanon's book, the Black Panthers found inspiration in Fanon. So did the Iranian revolutionaries, who ended with the rise of the mullahs. Those revolutionaries transmuted Fanon's distinction between oppressor and oppressed into a distinction between the arrogant and the weakened, translating Fanon's Marxist-tinged radicalism into radical Islamism. But the coalition of Fanon's Wretched of the Earth could not materialize until the generation of Sartre came to full maturity, until the institutions of the West poisoned themselves slowly with the imbecilic suicidality of weakness. The West remained strong enough to fend off the radical alliance when it faced down the Soviet Union, but then it couldn't stand up for itself, and so it began to fall. Fast forward 60 years from Sartre, and Sartre's radicalism has now become a mass movement, a movement uniting Hamas and campus radicals, the far left, and the terrorists. Cornel West, the black Marxist radical, calls Fanon, quote, "the greatest revolutionary intellectual of the mid-20th century." According to West, he compels us to acknowledge colonialism is a sustained barbaric war waged against colonized people sanctioned by Western values. What's more, colonialism, says West, is not a far-from-home problem. It means the West must be demolished. For Fanon, West says, revolutionary internationalism, anti-imperialism, anti-capitalism, anti-colonialism, anti-patriarchalism, anti-white supremacy, yields a new humanism that puts a premium on the psychic, social, and political needs of poor and working peoples, a solidarity and universality from below. West explains, quote, "in our present-day moment of imperial decay and capitalist decrepitude, the spirit of Fanon is most manifest in any American imperialist context in the revolutionary internationalist wings of the Black Lives Matter movement and the Palestinian Lives Matter movement, aligned with the boycott, divestment, and sanctions effort. The coalition is now complete. The alliance of the supposedly marginalized march together, arm in arm, toward the destruction of the West, and in particular, the United States. After all, the United States, even according to Fanon in 1961, had become the chief colonizer thanks to its power. Quote, 2 centuries ago, a former European colony decided to catch up with Europe. It succeeded so well that the United States became a monster in which the taints, the sickness, the inhumanity of Europe have grown to appalling dimensions." Unquote. The alliance to destroy the West spans the globe. And it's right here at home, too, threatening everything we stand for. If decolonization is merely a code word for attacking the powerful and the systems that supposedly sustain them, then queers for Palestine begins to make a lot of sense. That's why the same people caterwauling over the use of the wrong pronoun will celebrate the burning of babies in the Gaza envelope. As Washington Post writer Karen Atka recently retweeted after the slaughter of 1,500 Jewish civilians, quote, "What did y'all think decolonization meant? Vibes? Papers? Essays? Losers. She might be evil, but she isn't wrong." We talk about Preborn a lot. We believe in their mission. We know you do, too. Who wouldn't want to help rescue babies and help moms in crisis? Preborn is reaching into the hearts of women by allowing them to hear the heart of their babies. It's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics saves 200 babies' lives. But it doesn't stop there. They offer mothers maternity clothes, doctor visits, and the help they need to choose life. Now, that's good news. Would you help by supporting Preborn? Your gift of $28 for a free ultrasound could be the difference between saving the life of an unborn child. All gifts are tax deductible and will go directly toward saving babies' lives, so please be generous. To donate, just dial #250, say keyword baby. That's #250 baby. There are so many women who are being deceived into believing that the thing growing inside them is not in fact a human child, that is not in fact their baby, it's just a big nothing. But ultrasound disabuses them of that notion and allows them to see their baby long before that baby is born. Donate securely at preborn.com/Ben. Again, that's preborn.com/Ben. Start saving babies today. Donate by dialing #250, say keyword baby to get started. As I'm mentioning, the evils on college campus have become incredibly pronounced. They span from the student body to the administration. Last night, students at Cooper Union in New York, Jewish students, were actually trapped inside a building in a room, and the police wouldn't allow them to leave. Now, I've been in a situation like this before personally. When I spoke at Cal State University Los Angeles, back 2015, 2016, I remember that we were actually locked in the auditorium because there were people outside who were nearly rioting, and they were attempting to beat up people attempting to get into the room. The police actually had to shut down the room, and they wouldn't let anybody out because they were afraid that nobody would be able to be protected. It was the same story at Cooper Union last night. Here's some film of students at Cooper Union stuck in the library as pro-Hamas protesters pounded on the door. And the people outside are chanting Free Palestine, but then trying to bang it open the doors to apparently get at the Jews. So again, anti-Zionism rearing its ugly head as anti-Semitism. Over at the University of Washington, Seattle, they held themselves a pro-Hamas rally where they extolled the virtues of people who murder Jews.
We know that sometimes there are Zionist pro-Israel counter-protests at these actions. And if you see them, you don't have to engage with them. We don't want Israel to exist. We don't want these Zionist counter-protesters to exist. UW to condemn the attacks against Palestinian students.
I mean, they're just saying the thing, right? We don't want Israel to exist. We don't want these people to exist. Well, I mean, saying the quiet part out loud is par for the course around here. Over at Princeton, people were shouting, "Long live the Intifada." The Intifada is a violent uprising. That's what an Intifada is. So they're not just calling for a two-state solution. That is a lie. Anybody who says, "Long live the Intifada," what they mean is violent attacks on civilians. That's what the Intifada is. There were protesters in Princeton doing this. Again, these are America's top universities.
Long live the Intifada!
Intifada! Intifada!
Long live the Intifada!
Over at George Washington University, students the other night decided they would project pro-Hamas slogans onto the walls of various buildings. One said, "Free Palestine from the river to the sea," which of course is a call for genocide. The river to the sea would be the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. That means the extermination of every Jew in that region. This was projected on the walls over George Washington. And just in case they weren't clear enough, they also projected the slogan, "Glory to our martyrs." Their martyrs would be, you know, members of Hamas who are raping children so hard that they broke their pelvises. That's from medical reports on the ground over there. And these are the genius students who either are on a student visa, which means we should expel them. If you have a student visa and you're in the United States, this does not give you the right to be a terror supporter. You should leave, and you should leave forthwith. You should go hang out with your terrorist buddies elsewhere. The George Washington University administration, they put out a statement in the aftermath of this. Students for Justice in Palestine, a group that has now been banned in the state of Florida for supporting terrorism. Students for Justice in Palestine claimed credit for all of this. They also put out a statement saying, quote, "These events have only reaffirmed what every Palestinian knows deeply. We'll see a liberated Palestine within our lifetime. The settler colony will fall. Our land will be liberated. We will return to our homes again. Palestine will be free from the river to the sea." Again, there you see that language of Fanon, the settler colony, the settler colony. And again, everybody sort of understands why radical Islamists want to destroy Israel and kill the Jews. The question has always been, why queers for Palestine? Why the fellow travelers? And the answer is, when you build a coalition that is explicitly designed to tear away at the West, and Israel is an element of that coalition, the alliance rides again. That's why. The demonstration, by the way, also attacked the university administration. And then the university put out a pretty weak statement. suggesting that they were unhappy with all of this. It's not just the student body. It is many, many members of faculty at America's top universities. We'll get to that momentarily. First, the world has witnessed the heinous attack by Hamas terrorists against innocent Israeli citizens. This massive and devastating attack killed over 1,000 Israeli men, women, children, babies. Thousands more were injured, kidnapped, held hostage. This sworn enemy of Israel will stop at nothing to slaughter every single Jew and claim Israel as their own. But there is a beacon of hope amidst the chaos. The International Fellowship of Christians and Jews is on the ground right now, providing critical essentials like food, medicine, and other emergency supplies for vulnerable Jews who need immediate help. But the need is massive and urgent. This great organization needs your help right now. To donate, please go to benforthefellowship.org. Give as generously as you can. Write it down. That's benforthefellowship.org. Thank you. Alrighty, coming up, it's not just students who are the problem. Administration and faculty are also a major problem. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome to the Queen of Dragons Dispensary, your ultimate destination for top-notch cannabis experiences. Conveniently located at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard, Shasta Lake, our locally owned and operated dispensary takes pride in providing you with the best in price, value, and safety. Rest easy knowing that all of our products are rigorously tested for your peace of mind. We champion medical freedom, empowering you to choose what's right for you. At the Queen of Dragons, we house a remarkable selection of fresh, locally sourced, top-shelf indoor premium products packaged daily. Unbelievable value for unbeatable quality. We're open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. For exclusive deals and exciting updates, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Queen Dragons. Join our vibrant community, The Queen of Dragons Dispensary, where the fire of quality meets the freedom of choice. Visit us at www.queenofdragons.com or call 530-276-9771 to evaluate your cannabis experience today.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Do you have that story inside you just waiting to be shared with the world? We have great news. NaNoWriMo is coming. This November is National Novel Writing Month, and the local writing community is gathering to support local writers and stores. Find out how to get involved by heading to NaNoWriMo.org or finding the Writing Roots team on social media. By working together, this November may be the month your dream becomes a reality.
Five.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So our college campuses are completely screwed up, and that's not just the students. The UC Ethnic Studies Faculty Council wrote a letter to all of the University of California Board of Regents. First of all, professionally useless people. Ethnic studies departments are garbage. But they wrote a letter, and they say, in the strongest possible terms, the UC Ethnic Studies Faculty Council at the University of California, a diverse statewide body representing over 300 faculty system-wide, rejects recent UC administrative communications that distort and misrepresent the unfolding genocide of Palestinians in Gaza and thereby contribute to the racist and dehumanizing erasure of Palestinian daily reality. In light of the history and statements by the UC regents demonizing the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement and other forms of Palestinian solidarity, We have no confidence the UC administration comprehends or respects its obligations. It is deeply distressing the UC and other higher institutions' administrative statements in the last week and a half that irresponsibly wheeled charges of terrorism and unprovoked aggression have contributed to a climate that has made Palestinian students and community members unsafe. Yeah, this is the big lie. I'm really enjoying the big lie. The people who really feel unsafe on campus these days are obviously the pro-Hamas protesters who are marching en masse through campuses and threatening people. By the way, how pathetic are our university students? They're so pathetic that at Brandeis University, which was founded by the American Jewish community, at Brandeis University, student leaders voted 10-6 not to condemn Hamas. Yoni Khan, a senior at the university, said that he stands with Palestinians, but this is still about condemning an extremist organization, but he was, in the minority. So amazing stuff there from Brandeis. So again, this is a group of young, highly educated, usually upper-class students who are fully in league with the ideology of terrorism because Hamas is just part of the violent coalition to tear down the civilization. So they have to stand by the ruddies. And what that means is that also there's a sense of tremendous entitlement from these folks. They're entitled to a job from you. They're entitled to your taxpayer dollars. They're entitled to your support. Probably the best example of this that I've seen over the past few years is a person named Rina Workman. Rina Workman is the NYU Law School's Student Bar Association president. So she was caught on camera defacing posters of kidnapped Israelis. So this is something that has become unbelievably common and pretty shocking, because these are just posters of people who are literally being held hostage by a terrorist group and pro-Hamas people. You can't call these pro-Palestinian people, because this has nothing to do with being pro-Palestinian people. I mean, if it does, then I think you're getting the issue wrong. They're literally tearing down posters of kidnapped children or defacing them. Here's Rina Workman doing just that.
Hey, guys, look what they're doing. Do you guys want to say your name or no?
I don't want to tell you my name.
You guys want to put your name? Really? You guys scared?
I'm not scared.
At least say your name. If you're going to do it, do it with pride. If you're going
to
do it, do it with pride.
I'm very proud. I just don't want to talk to you.
So what's your name? Look what they're doing. They're doing over these hostage signs. The children are dying in Israel. Look what they're doing.
And of course, she had nothing to say. She's just standing there. Of course, she's not giving her name. Well, she had her job at a law firm rescinded, because it turns out the law firms don't like to employ terrorist sympathizers. It's not their biggest thing. So what does that mean? Well, it means it's time for the media to jump in and finally talk about free speech on college campuses. Wow, that is amazing. So here is ABC News covering Rina Workman. I mean, the sense of absolute entitlement from these privileged, petty, pathetic left wingers who, again, are in league with the quote unquote wretched of the earth, according to Fanon. It's quite disgusting. And people should realize how revolutionary the implications are. Here's Rina Workman declaring that not only is she entitled to tear down posters of kidnapped children, she's entitled to a job from you. And if you don't give it to her, it's because you're discriminatory.
If you were to redo the letter, obviously with the benefit of hindsight, anything you would have done differently?
I think I will continue to speak up for Palestinian human rights and use whatever platform I have available to me to call for a ceasefire and, you know, end this occupation that's harming the Palestinians.
I mean, I just try one more time. Would you change anything, even the timing of it? Because some people thought it was too soon, because your letter came before Israel even launched any kind of retaliation.
I think it's important to note that the genocide happening right now did not start on October 7th. It started over 75 years ago. And that was what my message was intended to get across, was that we are seeing violence happening that is part of a much larger structural violence system that is happening in Palestine right now.
Do you condemn
structural violence,
Hamas's,
right? That's the idea, right? Settler colonialism, my type.
I think what I use my platform for and who I condemn was pretty clear by my message, and I think that I will continue to condemn apartheid and military occupation, and that in this moment I'm focused calling for an end to genocide and calling for an immediate ceasefire.
Do you think that in this space that we're in right now, there's room to have empathy for the Israelis who lost their lives, who were brutalized, who were raped, and also empathy for the Palestinians who are similarly losing their lives?
Yeah, I think right now, if you turn on any mainstream channel, you'll see the stories of Israelis on every screen you look to. And so I think for me, I will continue to use my platform to uplift the voices of Palestinians and the struggles they're going through, because right now we have over 5,000 Palestinians lost.
This is the whole thing in one human. The whole thing, Rina Workman, you can pause it there. Rina Workman uses they, them pronouns. Rina Workman considers herself to be a member of Queers for a Liberated Palestine. And that's what this is. She put out a statement before Israel actually did anything condemning Israel for the dead Jews. That's what she did. Why? Because, again, it's part of the broader rubric of marginalized of the earth, unite and tear down the quote-unquote colonizers. By colonizers, they just mean anybody who has power. Already coming up, it's not just members of our campuses who are morally idiotic. It's also members of the media. The Ben Shapiro Show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, most notably getting rid of the Dominion voting machines, which we have proved are hackable. For the first time in a long time, we are going to have fair elections. By using volunteers in the process to hand count ballots, we will save money, and to date, we have over 400 people signed up. Fair elections, saving money, working hard for you. Vote no on the cry recall. Vote for Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Step into savings at Design Time and Tile during National Karastan Month and bring timeless luxury and sophisticated style to your home for the holidays. Enjoy the style and durability of environmentally friendly Karastan luxury carpet. Easy to clean with permanent built-in stain and soil resistance, or choose from the flawless craftsmanship of Karastan Luxcraft Luxury Vinyl and Belalux Hardwood Collections. Live beautifully with Karastan and Design Time and Tile, voted 2022 Best of the North State, Clear Creek Road and Highway 273, or visit our website, designtimestore.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike? Why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Explore the wonder and science of wintry landscapes at Turtle Bay's newest museum exhibition, Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact, on display September 16th through December 31st at Turtle Bay Museum. This exhibit dives deep into the environment, culture, adaptations, and sciences all about snow as a valuable resource. Great for all ages. Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact is presented by Carolina Giramonti in memory of Nick L. and Claudia Giramonti. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
River Front Playhouse presents Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher from the novella Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Directed by Lawrence Stanfield, a new and shocking twist on the classic tale of depravity, lust, love, and horror. See two sides of a psyche battle each other in a deadly game of cat and mouse to determine who shall be the master and who his slave. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and enjoy the store Reading. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, October 20th through November 4th, sponsored by Audiology Associates at Reading, this station, and other amazing sponsors.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
.gov.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So our media continue to just make fools of themselves. It's particularly true at the vaunted New York Times. This issue of the supposed coalition of the oppressed against Western civilization, it's bled up. It started at the university level with pseudo-intellectuals promoting it. People like Edward Said promoting it. People like Angela Davis promoting it. But it's bled up into all aspects of American society, most obviously including our media, to the extent that the New York Times at this point is literally defending rehiring a freelance writer who praised Hitler. Not kidding you. According to Jewish News Service, Palestinian filmmaker Soliman Hiji, who has posted on social media of being in a state of harmony as Hitler was during the Holocaust and wrote, "How great you are, Hitler," has been rehired by the New York Times. He freelanced for the New York Times from 2018 until 2021. And since October 12th, he's had 9 bylines. He's just writing for the New York Times again. Amazing. The New York Times, they said, we reviewed problematic social media posts by Hiji when they first came to light in 2022 and took a variety of actions to ensure he understood our concerns and could adhere to our standards. Oh, you mean the standards of not being a Hitler supporter or the standards of being a Hitler supporter or silent on genocide like the New York Times was the first time around? And this is bled up into the media. And the way that the media do this in a softer fashion is they just set up this full-scale moral equivalence. They pretend that you don't actually have a moral obligation to take sides in a battle between genocidal terrorists and legitimate states. So the New York Times put out an entire opinion video piece saying you don't have to take sides. There's nothing that suggests you have to take sides against terror groups that burn babies alive. There's nothing that suggests that. Here was the New York Times putting out a full-scale opinion video equating Israeli advocates with, like, Hamas advocates. It's amazing stuff.
Where is your humanity?
You're going to have to pick a side.
There's no equivocating this.
And your silence is deafening.
You've got to pick a side. You better pick a side.
I don't know how you can sit there and say, I don't support either side.
What's your opinion on the war in the Middle East? I'm afraid I'm going to have to insist on an answer. There are wars raging all across our small planet. But today, you're only required to take a stance on one. Compassion for humanity is a good thing. So what about the more than 300,000 people who've died in Nigeria? The roughly 60,000 who've disappeared in Mexico?
What does The Rock think about the Rohingya?
What is Justin Bieber doing to solve the crisis in Yemen? Where did the Mets stand on the war?
By the way, there are a bunch of these conflicts that people do have opinions about. Like, a lot of them. They're so gross. They're so gross. Well, suddenly the New York Times is saying you don't have to have a moral opinion on this stuff. The New York Times spends its days asking every single Republican, if a Republican makes a bad comment anywhere, every Republican must now have an opinion on that thing. Apparently, there's only one issue where you don't have to have an opinion, according to the New York Times. And that happens to be, you know, where Muslims are murdering Jews en masse and calling for their extermination. When that happens, suddenly the New York Times goes full on, well, you know, there are other things happening in the world. Again, many of the conflicts that they mention right there, you should have an opinion on. You should have an opinion on the Chinese government keeping Muslims in concentration camps in China. Some of us have expressed that opinion many, many times. By the way, the idea the New York Times doesn't say you have to have an opinion on Ukraine versus Russia is insane. The New York Times has been pushing that for years at this point. But again, the moral equivocation is just cover for terrorism. That's all it is. It's PR cover for terrorism. So, give you the latest on the ground right now in Israel. Right now, the Israelis last night performed their largest ground assault since the beginning of this particular round of conflict, since October 7th. They sent some tanks in to areas in the northern Gaza Strip. It was a limited raid ahead of any sort of potential ground offensive. There are a lot of rumors that Biden has been trying to convince the Israelis to delay the ground offensive. Israel, for its own part, is still kind of deciding when it wishes to go, what it wishes to do, and all the rest. The suggestion was that Biden wanted a delay so that the United States could get more defensive weaponry in place to protect our troops abroad, which, by the way, we should have had originally, except that Joe Biden was too busy playing nice and playing footsie with the mullahs to actually defend our troops. That happens to be the case even now. But here was Joe Biden yesterday saying that he did not call for a delay on a ground invasion.
Have you sought assurances from him that he will hold off on a ground invasion into Gaza until the safe release of the hostages can be assured? And, of course, those include 10 unaccounted for Americans.
No. What I have indicated to him is that if that's possible to get these folks out safely, that's what he should do. It's their decision. But I did not demand it. I pointed out to him, if it's real, it should be done.
Now, to his credit, Biden was asked about the numbers from the Gaza Strip, and he said, you know, we're getting all those numbers from Hamas. I take them with a grain of salt, which, you know, good for him for actually saying this, since the administration has so far not really done that.
If I may very quickly, in the 18 days since Hamas killed 1,400 Israelis, the Hamas-controlled Gaza Health Ministry says Israeli forces have killed over 6,000 Palestinians, including 2,700 children. You've previously asked Netanyahu to minimize civilian casualties. Do these numbers say to you that he is ignoring that message?
What they say to me is I have no notion that Palestinians are telling the truth about how many people are killed. I'm sure innocents have been killed, and it's the price of waging a war. I think we should be incredibly careful. I think not we, the Israelis should be incredibly careful to be sure that they're focusing on going after the folks that are propagating this war against Israel. And it's against their interest when that doesn't happen. But I have no confidence in the number that the Palestinians are using.
Again, embedded in that is Joe Biden's usual garbage about how Israel has to be so careful about civilian casualties. You really have to warn the Israelis, what we talked about yesterday on the show. Meanwhile, Biden is trying to figure out exactly what to do with the fact that Iran is getting very, very spicy with regard to Americans in the region. According to the Washington Post, President Biden faces mounting pressure to strike Iranian proxies that have repeatedly attacked and injured U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria this month. But he's weighing any decision to retaliate against his broader concern that the war in Gaza could be on the precipice of erupting into a region-wide tempest. Well, the truth is, the thing that will keep it from erupting into a region-wide tempest is if the United States makes clear that if you injure our troops, we will stomp on you like a fly. Like that historically has been the American way of doing business in these places. And that has, in fact, worked. When American troops are attacked, the only way to push people off of doing that is to make it very clear to them that if they do that, they and their buddies die. And there's a reason that Donald Trump did this exactly right. When he was the president of the United States, if there were attacks on American troops, Donald Trump responded in kind, and he did so with alacrity. It was Donald Trump who pulled the trigger on Qasem Soleimani, and he was totally correct to do that, considering that Soleimani helped plan the death of thousands of American troops in Iraq. Biden said on Wednesday that he warned Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, that if Tehran continues to move against U.S. forces in the Middle East, we'll respond. But so far, there really has been no response yet, and it's that sort of lack of clarity that is leading to an escalation. So, obviously, you know, it makes some sense that if there's going to be a base of attack, Iran, an insurgent group that is using a base of attack somewhere to attack Americans, droning them to death would probably be a proper solution for all of that. Meanwhile, by the way, the Biden administration just let in the Iranian foreign minister to the United States. He met with Hamas 5 seconds ago to cheer with them. I don't understand why the United States is granting temporary visas to terrorists and terror supporters. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. By the way, this whole thing, of course, has been pretty embarrassing for the Biden administration. Even more embarrassing since Jake Sullivan, who is the national security advisor to Joe Biden, he wrote an essay in Foreign Affairs magazine before the October 7th attacks in which he bragged about a bunch of supposed foreign policy successes. They had to edit it because there was a passage in it about how they'd done an amazing job in the Gaza Strip. Quote, the Israeli-Palestinian situation is tense, particularly in the West Bank. But in the face of serious frictions, we have de-escalated crises in Gaza and restored direct diplomacy between the parties after years of its absence. That's what Jake Sullivan wrote like 5 minutes before Hamas launched the deadliest attack on Jews since World War II. Quote, the region is quieter than it has been for decades. The progress is fragile, to be sure, but it is also not an accident. Biden's approach returns discipline to U.S. policy. It emphasizes deterring aggression, de-escalating conflicts, and integrating the region. Yeah, it's worked out amazingly, amazingly well. They had to cut all of that from Sullivan's embarrassing essay. Okay, well, in other news in the United States, actually good news in the United States for a change, the Republicans have now actually put a Speaker of the House in place. I know. I'm amazed, too. And it's like basic functionality of the Congress. But the person they put in place, Mike Johnson, he's excellent. I think he'll do a great job. By the way, I thought Jim Jordan would have been excellent. I thought he would have done, I thought Steve Scalise was excellent. I thought he would have done a great job. I thought Kevin McCarthy was doing a fine job. So in other words, we basically traded a conservative Speaker of the House for another conservative Speaker of the House. You can like Mike Johnson better than Kevin McCarthy on his personal policies and predilections. In a second, I want to talk about the incentive structure and what actually happens once he's Speaker of the House. Because as I've said before, every Speaker of the House is going to face the same incentive structure. And so if you're expecting a radical shift in Republican policy to occur because Mike Johnson is Speaker as opposed to McCarthy, you got another thing coming. But is it good that Johnson is in place? Absolutely. Does he seem kind of awesome? Yeah, you bet he does. We'll get to that in just one second. First,
paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, switching to MediShare can save you even more than usual on top of what you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, especially given how inflation is affecting us. And MediShare is the affordable, reliable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves about $500 a month. You might save even more. And MediShare is a Christian community that's been sharing each other's healthcare costs for 30 years now, and they're making it easier than ever. Apply by October 31st, and you can save an additional $150 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. It's 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE. 844-53-BIBLE.
All right, coming up, finally some good news for Republicans. We have a speaker. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
Well, I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
Not. No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and price right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Reading, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
88 Freedom.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So good news for Republicans. They finally decided to stop kicking themselves directly in the crotch and actually, you know, named a speaker. They decided to actually vote in favor of Mike Johnson. So Mike Johnson, somebody that I would say most of America had not heard of, like ever. He was only elected to Congress fairly recently. He hasn't been in Congress all that long. He is a congressman from Louisiana. According to Politico, his anonymity in Washington was the driving force in his election as speaker because he hadn't made any enemies yet. He became the unlikely leader of an unruly group of House Republicans who will now rely on him to run their side of the Capitol. He was next to no one's first pick. But, again, everybody else had a high profile, and that meant that he was the guy who kind of sneak in under the radar. Now Johnson must figure out how to achieve what McCarthy couldn't compromise that doesn't prompt a mutiny. Now, he's going to have an easier time with that. The reason he's going to have an easier time with that than McCarthy did is because he's not named Kevin McCarthy. Seriously, it's that simple. Now, the fact is that Johnson has a lot less experience than McCarthy in the space. Again, this is not a rip on Johnson. Johnson's great. I'm going to go through his opening speech in a second when he won the speakership. And it's excellent. It's really, really, really good. However, the Speaker of the House's job is not just to be a person who speaks well and a person who communicates well. The Speaker of the House essentially has several jobs. One is to, yeah, speak well and maintain policy positions. But the kind of bigger aspects are vote counting, vote whipping, rewarding allies and punishing enemies, getting together your coalition to actually do things. And that requires a lot of back scratching. It requires a lot of maneuvering. It requires the kind of Machiavellian stuff that McCarthy was actually pretty good at. I don't know if Johnson has a lot of experience at it. Maybe he's great at it. We don't know. He's never done it before. The speaker also is supposed to fundraise for pretty much all the Republicans across the board. So McCarthy, over the course of his time in House leadership, raised almost $500 million for various House Republican candidates, including many of the same people who then ousted him. Mike Johnson in the last election cycle, you wouldn't expect him to raise tens of millions of dollars. He's one guy running in an uncontested district in Louisiana. Mike Johnson in his last election cycle raised $1.3 million. So can he translate that over into raising hundreds of millions of dollars for fellow candidates? McCarthy, when recruited a bunch of candidates in purple districts, Johnson hasn't really done that yet. So, again, he's going to have to prove that he can do all of the hard-nosed things that McCarthy could do. And there's a lot of parliamentary procedure being Speaker of the House. It's not like anybody can just walk in the front door and suddenly transform the place. If you don't file a bill at the proper time, Democrats could sneak in. They could flip the bill. Like, there really are a lot of procedural complexities. Now, Johnson may very well be able to handle it. We just don't know. Okay, so the notion that things are going to radically change in the House now that it's Johnson as opposed to McCarthy is really silly. And again, none of that's a rip on Johnson. It is a rip on Gates and team. The idea that the Gates and team achieved some sort of massive material victory by throwing the House into full-on chaos for 3 weeks and demonstrating the fractiousness and idiocy of part of the Republican caucus, I don't buy it. I don't see it. And that is without reference to what happens going forward with Johnson. And so here are a few things about Mike Johnson that are kind of awesome. So Mike Johnson, very, very socially conservative, has a 90% lifetime rating from Heritage Action, 92% from the American Conservative Union. He is very much in favor of cutting spending, which is something, by the way, a lot of the MAGA type are not really big in favor of. They kind of like the spending, depending on who they are. He's very strong on abortion, extremely pro-life. He has an A-plus rating from the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America group. He used to work as a senior legal counsel for the Alliance Defense Fund. And he is anti-same-sex marriage, for example. He has been historically, which, by the way, is the historically correct position of the Republican Party, that a man and a woman are marriage, and that any other form of human relationship is not the same morally or sociologically. He was involved in the attempts to stall certification of the election post-2020. And this is being used as a club by Democrats already. He devised an argument that was actually the only good argument that was made in the aftermath of November 7th, which is essentially that a lot of states like Pennsylvania had unilaterally shifted their voting laws so as to benefit Democrats in ways that were legal. That was like the only good legal argument that was made during that entire spectacle. Johnson was the one making those arguments. And he said some stuff during that time that, frankly, is ridiculous, right? He called into question the voting systems and cited Venezuela, and it was Sidney Powell kind of stuff. But he is now moving away from that. I assume that he's going to ignore all of that. That doesn't mean Democrats aren't going to jump on it, which we'll get to in a moment. But Johnson gave a really quite beautiful speech last night on becoming Speaker of the House. He opened by thanking Kevin McCarthy.
I want to express my great thanks for our Speaker Emeritus, Kevin McCarthy. Kevin has dedicated over two decades of his life to selfless public service, 16 of those years in this House. And you would be hard-pressed to find anybody who loves this institution more or has contributed more to it. He is the reason we're in this majority today.
So he started off with that. He then moved on to the fact that it's time to get back to work, which, of course, is true. This has not been a good moment for the Republican Party. They look like clowns. So restoring some sort of semblance of dignity to the Republican caucus would certainly be a plus.
I want to say to the American people, on behalf of all of us here, we hear you. We know the challenges you're facing. We know that that there's a lot going on in our country, domestically and abroad, and we are ready to get to work again to solve those problems, and we will. Our mission here is to serve you well, to restore the people's faith in this House, in this great and essential institution.
He continued along these lines. He said that the pride of the institution is in jeopardy, and it's time to restore that pride. That, of course, is true as well.
And I think all of our parents are proud of what we're called to do here. I think all the American people at one time had great pride in this institution. But right now, that's in jeopardy. And we have a challenge before us right now to rebuild and restore that trust.
And he's, of course, right about that as well. Now, on principle, he's a very strong traditional conservative. He's pretty hawkish on foreign policy. He voted against some of the Ukraine appropriations bills. That'd probably be the biggest distinction between him and McCarthy, is that McCarthy was pro-funding for Ukraine. And in the initial response, Mike Johnson was pro-funding of Ukraine. And then after we gave them like $100 billion, then he started to get skittish about it, and he suggested he is not in favor of that. But that's also where the Republican caucus is. The possibility of passing large-scale Ukraine funding on a standalone basis was a non-starter inside the caucus anyway. That's obviously the direction that the Republican Party has moved. When he got to his principles, this is particularly good. So Mike Johnson ticked off a lot of the left last night when, before he assumed his speakership position, he actually knelt in prayer with a bunch of other members of the Republican caucus. And this, of course, is very bad. You're not supposed to do this. It's super offensive to, you know, pay tribute to God after you achieve something of the magnitude of becoming Speaker of the House in the United States of America. That, of course, is deeply offensive, deeply problematic, clearly. I mean, being Rashida Tlaib and being an actual terror supporter, okay, according to Democrats. Kneeling for prayer on the floor of the House, that, of course, is a huge problem. You're allowed to kneel in kente cloth for George Floyd. You're just not allowed to do it for God without the kente cloth. In any case, Mike Johnson, he said last night that it's time to reject atheism and Marxism.
In 1962, that our national motto, "In God We Trust," was adorned above this rostrum. And if you look at the little guide that they give tourists and constituents who come and visit the House, if you turn in there to about page 14 in the middle of that guide, it tells you the history of this. And it says very simply, these words were placed here above us. This motto was placed here as a rebuke of the Cold War era philosophy of the Soviet Union. That philosophy was Marxism and communism.
So, obviously, he is slapping at some members of the left. Then he listed what he called the seven core principles of conservatism. These are pretty traditional.
I think it's really quintessentially the core principles of our nation. I boil them down to individual freedom, limited government, the rule of law, peace through strength, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and human dignity. Those are the foundations that made us the extraordinary nation that we are. And you and I today are the stewards of those principles.
Okay, that sounds pretty traditionally conservative to me. In there I heard, you know, peace through strength, which is something that a lot of people are not big fans of these days. I heard fiscal responsibility, something a lot of people on the right are not big fans of these days. So again, the idea that he's some sort of like wild departure from traditional conservatism is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. He's a traditional conservative, which is good. A traditionally conservative Speaker of the House would be a very good thing. I hope that he pulls the levers in a more conservative direction than House leadership has been able to do. I also understand, as I've said, the incentive structure. And the incentive structure means he has a Democrat Senate, he has a Democrat President of the United States, and he has an extremely thin majority in the House. And all it takes is a few grandstanders to make it so that he has to cut a deal with Democrats again. In the initial run, I expect that he's going to get the support of many of the people who ousted McCarthy, so those aren't going to be the people who buck him. But as time progresses, he'll have the exact same incentive structure as everyone else. So was this like a big, giant win for the Republican Party? Again, really like Mike Johnson, like in a ton of ways, love Mike Johnson. Love him on foreign policy. Love him, like, again, across the board, excellent, excellent choice for Speaker of the House. Can he pull the levers in a sophisticated way? We have yet to see that. Was this, like, overall an amazing move for Republicans, like a much-needed change? let's hold our fire on that one. Was Matt Gaetz a strategic genius for throwing the house into complete chaos for a month to do this? No, he was not. And any attempts to retcon that are pretty ridiculous. All right, folks, we've reached the end of today's show. We'll be back here tomorrow with much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A 48-hour nightmare is over in Maine. The body of Robert Card, the 40-year-old suspected mass murderer, was found earlier Friday night in the woods near Lisbon, Maine. Governor Janet Mills credits good police work.
But this discovery is entirely thanks to the hundreds of local, county, state, and federal law enforcement members from all over, and people from other states as well. People who searched tirelessly to arrive at this moment.
Card was wanted for the Wednesday night mass shooting that killed 18 people and wounded nearly three dozen others. President Biden meets with China's top diplomat in Washington.
The president met with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi, who was at the White House for a meeting with the National Security Advisor. The White House said Mr. Biden emphasized that both the U.S. and China need to manage competition in the relationship responsibly and maintain open lines of communication. Friday's conversation is seen as a precursor to a potential sit-down with Chinese President Xi Jinping next month. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Video released by the Pentagon shows a Chinese fighter jet flying within just 10 feet of an American B-52 bomber. The incident happened Tuesday over the South China Sea. The video shows the fighter jet passing just beneath the bomber's wing. The incident comes a week after the Pentagon reported 180 similar incidents carried out by China against U.S. forces in the region since 2021, when Biden took office. The Israeli military says its ground forces will expand their activities in Gaza. That announcement Friday night came hours after Israel's defense minister said the country expects to launch a long and difficult ground invasion of the Hamas-ruled territory. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The factor pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
From the studio that brought you Sound of Freedom comes After Death.
What happens after you die?
A new cinematic experience that explores some of life's biggest questions with expert interviews and firsthand accounts.
I never felt alive and then dead. I felt alive and then more alive.
I heard a voice before I woke up.
You still have a purpose on Earth.
After Death. In theaters now. Get your tickets today or pay it forward at angel.com/afterdeath.
Kansas officials are calling a massive computer outage a security incident.
And that has kept most of the state's courts offline for 2 weeks. While authorities have provided no explanation, experts say it bears all the hallmarks of a ransomware attack. The disruption leaving attorneys unable to search online records and forcing them to file motions on a piece of paper. State officials have not said if there's been a demand for a ransom or when the systems will be back up. Jason Walker reporting.
There's going to be a partial lunar eclipse Saturday. Some of the Earth's shadow will reflect on the moon, making it look like someone took a bite out of it. Jupiter, Saturn, and Venus will also be visible. The partial lunar eclipse doesn't need any special equipment to be seen. All you need to do is look up from 3:34 p.m. to 4:52 p.m. Eastern Time. News and analysis at townhall.com. Congress gets low marks in the latest Gallup survey. Correspondent Bob Agnew has the story.
The poll shows Congress with approval of just 13%. That's the lowest since 2017. Gallup notes approval was down from respondents of both parties. Democrats offering just 10% approval, less than half what they did last month. Republicans giving Congress a 9% approval rating. Overall approval is 8 points lower than it was a year ago. Bob Agnew reporting.
An inflation gauge that's closely monitored by the Federal Reserve showed price increases remained elevated in September amid brisk consumer spending and strong economic growth. Prices rose 0.4% from August to September, the same as the previous month. Compared with 12 months earlier, inflation was unchanged at 3.4%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, it's Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road, and we're excited to celebrate our fourth anniversary here at Laux Landscape Supply. So October 20th through the 29th is your chance to save big on products like 50-pound Dimension Pre-Emergent, on sale for $32.99 a bag, or our popular Garden Power Soil for only $51.99 a yard. Great timing to put in sod, and it's on sale as low as 71 cents a square foot. Or how about the new Mocha Lava Rock, reduced to $79.99 a yard? Building a patio or walkway? Artisan Slate Paper are on sale for $3.99 a square foot. Ranger Pro Concentrate in a 2.5-gallon jug is only $79.99, and even cheaper if you buy two. These are just a few of the items you'll find on sale at Laux Landscape Supply October 20th through the 29th at the corner of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Give us a call at 530-378-2220. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com, or just come see us at 6023 Churn Creek Road. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, there's a question that very few people are asking about all the mass shootings that have happened all over the country. What psychiatric drugs are these killers on, and are the drugs actually helping to cause these violent episodes? Very good reason to think the answer to that question is yes. Also, Jamal Bowman gets a slap on the wrist for pulling a fire alarm on Capitol Hill, but now that we have a full video of the incident, we can see for sure that his story is a lie. And the American Academy of Pediatrics has been hit with a major lawsuit by a detransitioner. Is the floodgate finally opening? Talk about all that and more today on the Matt Walsh Show. When an off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot tried to sabotage a passenger plane's engines in flight this week, it took less than 24 hours for us to learn that the pilot had recently taken shrooms. He was allegedly high out of his mind when he attempted to activate the fire suppression system on the engines, according to officials. Authorities released that information for obvious reasons. For one thing, you know, they wanted to assure the public that this incident was not part of some broader terrorist plot, given the events in the Middle East. And more importantly, the authorities understood that they needed to provide some kind of explanation for why an Alaska Airlines pilot would decide out of the blue to try to kill 83 passengers on one of his company's planes. After all, when a senseless act of attempted mass murder happens, the news media and the American public are usually very interested in the details. They want to know, for example, what drugs were in the system of the would-be killer. And in the case of the Alaska pilot, those details were provided right away. Even in an incident, in this case, where nobody died, we got some transparency, and we got it immediately, as should be the case. And all that makes sense. What doesn't make sense, by contrast, is how the media has reported on Robert Card, the 40-year-old petroleum specialist in the U.S. Army Reserve, who, according to authorities, just went on a shooting rampage in Maine. Card allegedly killed 18 people at a bowling alley and a bar. He wounded many others. And here's how various news organizations described Card's potential motivations. Watch.
We have more breaking news regarding the mental health history of the man suspected of killing 18 people in Maine. I want to bring in Ken Delaney, NBC News Justice and Intelligence Correspondent. Ken, what have you just learned?
Chris, it's become increasingly clear that there were major concerns about this suspect, Robert Card's mental health, over the summer and as recently as a few weeks ago, both from his military commanders and members of his family. I've got two pieces of information to share with you. Two senior law enforcement officials tell me that Card's Army Reserve commanders referred him to inpatient psychiatric treatment over the summer after they became concerned about his comments that he had been hearing voices and about threats that he had made to the base. And we're told that he spent about 2 weeks inside a psychiatric facility, was treated there, was released. It's unclear what happened after that.
He's a firearms instructor and is known to have mental health issues, particularly had reported hearing voices in his head, had previously threatened to shoot up a military base before, and as recently as this summer spent 2 weeks in a mental health facility, then was released. Now, those details there are going to raise all sorts of questions and red flags as to how he's got that rifle that he's holding in these photos right now with those kind of mental health issues. Going into a mental health facility this summer, there are going to be all sorts of questions asked as to how this guy was able to possess a firearm like that.
If we look at the suspect, Robert Card, certified firearms instructor, member of the U.S. Army Reserve, made threats to carry out a shooting at National Guard facility earlier on, according to authorities, and reporting mental health issues, including hearing voices. If you look at all of that, you combine it with that information you just reported there, the idea that this is somebody who may know the outdoors very well, who may be very skilled at this, you understand how this shooting, this really changes the approach that law enforcement has to take to him.
So Robert Card, all these news outlets tell us, suffered from serious mental health problems. There were major concerns. He was inpatient at a psychiatric facility just this summer for at least 2 weeks. Everyone from his military commanders to his family knew about this, and therefore these outlets, all of them, including Fox, CNN, MSNBC, have the same questions, such as how was he able to access firearms? The laws in place are already supposed to prevent somebody like Card from having guns, so why weren't those laws followed or enforced? And those are very good questions. They need to be answered. We also need to know why Robert Card was ever released from that inpatient psychiatric facility, especially when the U.S. military apparently knew that he wanted to shoot up the base. Several commentators have raised that question as well. But there's another question that is important to ask, which none of these media outlets have been talking about. It's the same question that the media answered very quickly in the case of the Alaska Airlines pilot, which is, what drugs exactly were in the shooter's system? And along those same lines, what drugs has he been taking recently? I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
So if he was hearing voices in his head and talking about suicide, there's a good chance that he was on antipsychotic medication. He might have been on SSRIs as well. Could those drugs have made him even more violent than he already was? These are questions that most of the national news media actively discourage you from asking. You're called a conspiracy theorist if you try to bring up this topic. In fact, you'll probably be censored on major social media platforms. Earlier this year, for example, USA Today ran a fact check claiming that antidepressants are not linked to school shootings. And if you try to claim otherwise on Facebook, there's a good chance that USA Today's fact check will appear alongside your post. So, what's the evidence that antidepressants are not, in fact, linked to school shootings? Well, as part of this fact check, USA Today linked to a study from Columbia University on mass shootings. And here's what the study found. Quote, we identified 1,315 mass murders, 65% of which involved firearms. Lifetime psychotic symptoms were noted among 11% of perpetrators. These results suggest that policies aimed at preventing mass shootings by focusing on serious mental illness characterized by psychotic symptoms may have limited impact. Now, if you just read those statistics and accept the framing of USA Today and Columbia University, they're pretty convincing. You might come away with the idea that psychoactive drugs can't possibly be causing mass shootings since only 11% of the perpetrators have lifetime psychotic symptoms. Therefore, you know, there's a good chance that many of them are not taking SSRIs and other medications. But if you read the fine print, you might notice something that explains these figures. Here's how Columbia defines a mass shooting. Quote, the unlawful killing of 4 or more individuals, excluding the perpetrators, within one event in one location. In other words, gang violence counts. drive-by shootings targeting rival drug dealers, count, etc. So what we're seeing here is a statistical sleight of hand. You know, of course, we should be doing everything we possibly can to stop mass shootings, as Columbia University defines them. We should enforce laws that are already on the books. We should stop releasing criminals as soon as they're arrested. At the same time, the fact that all these mass shootings are occurring in the absence of SSRIs doesn't tell us anything whatsoever about the role of psychoactive drugs in causing violent behavior. Columbia's researchers don't address the core question. How many people who aren't gangbangers, who aren't career criminals, are taking SSRIs and then going on to commit mass shootings that they would not have committed otherwise? Now, not too long ago, some media outlets were willing to broach that question. Here's the BBC, for example, in a report that aired 7 years ago. Watch.
I was an absolute mess, wanting to take my life, like, continually. I read the leaflet and I was getting exactly what it said. You know, I was getting kind of seizure-like symptoms where my muscles were kind of jolting around of their own accord, and I felt disorientated and sick and had digestive problems and infections, and it's really, really extreme.
One in four people become more anxious rather than less, and they can become extraordinarily anxious, so that some people become very agitated and some go on from that to become suicidal.
Okay, so roughly a quarter of people taking these drugs, according to that report, are actually experiencing increased agitation. It's not just that the drug failed to solve their problem, the drug actively made their problem worse. Now, none of this is really a revelation. If you look at the labels on these drugs, you'll often find that drug companies come right out and admit it. So here's the label of Prozac, word for word. Quote, all patients being treated with antidepressants for any indication should be monitored appropriately and observed closely for clinical worsening, suicidality, and unusual changes in behavior. The following symptoms: anxiety, agitation, panic attacks, insomnia, irritability, hostility, aggressiveness, impulsivity, and mania have been reported in adult and pediatric patients being treated with antidepressants for major depressive disorder, as well as for other indications. The label goes on to say that no causal link has been established between these symptoms and the drug, but it obviously doesn't rule it out. That's why they put it on the label. Okay, and if you look at recent mass shootings going back for the past few decades, you begin to see why they put it on the label. Antidepressants, as well as other psychoactive drugs, have been a common denominator in many of these killings. Too many to even recount, but we'll recount a few of them. Eric Harris, one of the Columbine shooters, was taking two separate SSRIs, Zoloft and Luvox. Kip Kinkle, who murdered his parents before shooting 25 of his classmates, killing two of them, was taking Prozac, which is another SSRI. Jeff Weiss, the 16-year-old who murdered 9 people in Minnesota, including his grandfather, before killing himself, was on Prozac. One of his family members told the New York Times, quote, they kept upping the dose for him, and by the end, he was taking 3 of the 20-milligram pills a day. I can't help but think it was too much, but it must have set him off. Another relative said, quote, I do wonder whether on top of everything else he had going on in his life, on top of all the other problems, whether the drugs could have been the final straw. The 27-year-old who killed 6 people at Northern Illinois University in 2008 was reportedly on Prozac as well. So was Joseph Westbecker. In 1989, he killed 8 coworkers at a printing plant in Kentucky while taking the antidepressant. In 2001, Christopher Pittman was taking Zoloft when he killed his grandparents. And at trial, his lawyers blamed the drug. Kenneth Seguin's lawyers made a similar argument. He brutally murdered his wife and 2 children after his doctor prescribed him Prozac. Now, I could go on and list dozens of other examples. The Navy Yard shooter in 2013, Alexis was on antidepressants. James Holmes, who shot 82 people in that movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, was on Zoloft. Dylan Roof, the white supremacist church shooter, was on SSRIs as well. The trans-identified shooter who killed men, women, and children at the Christian school in Tennessee this year was under care for a, quote, emotional disorder. But you're not allowed to know any details about that. You're also not allowed to read the killer's manifesto in that case. A couple of months ago, a mental health watchdog called the Citizens Commission on Human Rights pointed out that the mass shooter at a Kentucky bank who killed 5 people and wounded many others was taking medication for depression. The group called for an investigation into possible links between psychoactive drugs and, quote, senseless violence. But no investigation would be forthcoming, of course. Corporate media organizations have no incentive to undertake any kind of investigation like that because they make hundreds of millions of dollars a year from Big Pharma. And honestly, they may not be the only ones who are being paid off. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, switching to MediShare can save you even more than usual on top of what you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, especially given how inflation is affecting us. And MediShare is the affordable, reliable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves about $500 a month. You might save even more. And MediShare is a Christian community that's been sharing each other's healthcare costs for 30 years now, and they're making it easier than ever. Apply by October 31st, and you can save an additional $150 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just tell them the promo code SHARE to get your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. It's 844-53-BIBLE. That's 844-53-BIBLE. 844-53-BIBLE.
We'll be back with the Matt Walsh Show in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. The versatile Kubota VX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota VX Series, rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Hi, this is Chelsea with NorCal Tractor and Equipment. You do it all, we do it local.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Here at KCNR Radio, we are fortunate to have two well-informed citizens. Hi, I'm Nick Gardner.
And I'm Doug Janke, and we'll give you the inside scoop of news affecting you.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest, Sundays, here, 8 o'clock.
KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and on your AM dial, 1460.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howell, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Qualify.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. Nobody ever talks about this, but a couple of years ago, it emerged that Eli Lilly, which makes Prozac, was accused of paying money to the victims of a mass shooting in order to protect their brand. Quoting from the USA Today, quote, The drug maker that produces Prozac, the antidepressant that Joseph Westbecker's victims blamed for his deadly shooting rampage 30 years ago, secretly paid the victims $20 million to help ensure a verdict exonerating the drug company. Indianapolis-based Eli Lilly vigorously shielded the payments for more than two decades, defying a Louisville judge who fought to reveal it because he said it swayed the jury's verdict. Now, was there a link between Prozac and that deadly rampage? We can't say. Seems like the company was worried that there might be. We do know two things for sure. First, the most powerful forces in media and big pharma do not want you to ask these kinds of questions. And second, we know that a lot of people who are taking these drugs are killing people in ways that are utterly horrifying. These are not just mass shooters either. The Daily Wire just reported on the case of a Massachusetts mother who methodically strangled her three children, including a five-year-old, a three-year-old, and an eight-month-old, to death before trying to kill herself. She took 4 minutes to complete each murder. She strangled each of them with an exercise band. Then she cut her own throat and jumped out the window. Now, according to the woman's lawyers, she, quote, suffered from postpartum depression and was overprescribed medicine. Now, this is the kind of crime that demands an explanation. Why in God's name would a mother, seemingly normal and law-abiding until that moment, suddenly decide to methodically murder all of her children? Postpartum depression is not an explanation. That's what the media has been telling. Oh, she has postpartum depression. Okay, lots of women get postpartum depression. Almost none of them have ever done or would ever do something like that. This mother did. Why? We need to know why. At this point, inevitably, some people will point out that correlation is not causation. That's true. You know, the fact that a bunch of people on SSRIs and other drugs like Ritalin are committing mass killings does not necessarily prove that these drugs are causing those killings, but it certainly suggests that it's a possibility. The drug makers themselves acknowledge that it's a possibility. And every effort to debunk this hypothesis has been misleading at best and fraudulent at worst. Drug makers are being accused of paying off victims. Corporate media outlets are burying the statistics by citing gang killings. Meanwhile, the bodies are piling up. You know, as much as leftists dream of solving this problem by seizing all the guns and jailing everybody who believes in the Second Amendment, that's not going to happen. I mean, there would be bloodshed on a scale never seen before in human history if the government attempted anything like that. So there's really only one option that could potentially save lives instead of bringing down the entirety of our constitutional republic. And that option is to determine conclusively why mass shootings and suicides are becoming more common over the past few decades, during which SSRI use has soared by roughly 3,000%. It was just a couple of years ago that the pharmaceutical industry admitted that it has no idea how these SSRIs are even supposed to work. Their basis for prescribing them, the chemical imbalance in the brain bit, that was a myth. And that has been admitted. So what that means is that the people giving these drugs to people, they don't even know exactly how they work or why they work or if they do. So you would think that everybody would welcome an investigation into this. If you have these drugs that more and more people are taking, and at the same time more and more violent, heinous crimes like these are being committed, you would think that lots of people would be asking questions. But right now, no one seemingly is asking the question. They're just talking about new laws to take away people's guns, even though Maine already had a so-called yellow flag law that should have ensured Robert Card didn't have access to firearms, but he did. They're offering non-solutions that will expand their power while limiting your rights. They're confident about their ideas, even though none of them has done anything to stop mass shootings since Columbine. They've only become more common. So maybe it's time for a new approach. Maybe it's time for the one solution they don't want you to talk about, which is investigating what role psychoactive drugs are playing in these killings. Now, I don't know what that investigation might find. All I know is that as more and more people are put on the psychotropic drugs, we seem to end up with more and more psychotic mass killers. At a minimum, this would indicate, it would seem, that the drugs are not effective in stopping these tragedies from occurring. Best case for the drug makers is that they're pushing an ineffective product. Worst case, and a very plausible case, is that they're pushing something that is actively contributing to the very thing it's supposed to prevent. We don't know for sure because very few people are interested in finding out. What I do know is that if any real investigation ever took place, then Big Pharma and its media clients would stand to lose a lot of money. And for that reason, there will be no investigation. Instead, there will be a lot more Robert Cards and Dylan Roofs and Kip Kinkles. And when you tune in to the NFL or Fox News or CNN, you'll continue to be bombarded with advertisements from the companies that were prescribing those killers their medications. The media will continue to make money on both ends. They get the ratings from their breaking coverage of mass shootings, and they get the ad dollars from Big Pharma. And unfortunately for people in bowling alleys and bars and schools all over the country, the cycle will continue. We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Explore the wonder and science of wintry landscapes at Turtle Bay's newest museum exhibition, Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact, on display September 16th through December 31st at Turtle Bay Museum. This exhibit dives deep into the environment, culture, adaptations, and sciences all about snow as a valuable resource. Great for all ages. Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact is presented by Carolina Giramonti in memory of Nick L. and Claudia Giramonti. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Now at Black Bear Diner, enjoy four new buttermilk biscuit creations. So huge, so monumental, you're going to need a fork and knife to enjoy them. Each featuring our enormous, baked, fresh in our kitchen every day buttermilk biscuits. The baby burn chicken fried steak, the savory tri-tip benedict, the hot honey crispy chicken, the colossal breakfast club. So get to Black Bear Diner today and grab your fork and knife for a limited time only.
Black Bear Diner.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, most notably getting rid of the Dominion voting machines, which we have proved are hackable. For the first time in a long time, we are going to have fair elections. By using volunteers in the process to hand count ballots, we will save money, and to date, we have over 400 people signed up. Fair elections, saving money, working hard for you. Vote no on the cry recall. Vote for Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Step into savings at Design Time and Tile during National Karastan Month and bring timeless luxury and sophisticated style to your home for the holidays. Enjoy the style and durability of environmentally friendly Karastan luxury carpet. Easy to clean with permanent built-in stain and soil resistance, or choose from the flawless craftsmanship of Karastan Luxcraft Luxury Vinyl and Velilux Hardwood Collections. Live beautifully with Karastan and Design Time and Tile, voted 2022 Best of the North State, Clear Creek Road and Highway 273, or visit our website, designtimestore.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction.
Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Elle. Join me and my good friend and co-host Ron Lim for our new show, Ask Elle, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Every Tuesday night at 6 p.m., we will be exploring powerful topics on how to have a successful and satisfying relationship. See you here Tuesday nights at 6 p.m.
Brought to you by Kindness Revolution, Wendy Douglas Insurance.
Download the app today.
And we're back with the Matt Walsh Show. All right, so this is interesting. I've given Gen Z a bit of a hard time on the show this week, so it's only fair to end the week with a positive note about the generation. And for some reason, researchers at UCLA have conducted a study to find out how Gen Z feels about sex scenes in movies. And it turns out, perhaps surprisingly to some, that they actually seem to prefer a bit of modesty in their cinematic entertainment. The Daily Wire reports, a new poll found that Gen Z isn't very interested in steamy sex scenes in their entertainment. The survey of 1,500 respondents was conducted by researchers at UCLA. It found that almost half of Gen Zers aged 13 to 24 said sex isn't needed for most TV shows and movies. Now, we should step to the side here to note that it is, to say the least, creepy that they're asking 13-year-olds this question. I don't know why this couldn't just be a question for the adults in Gen Z. But continuing on, a significant amount, 44%, also said romance is overused as a plot device. So what do they want instead? A majority of respondents, 51%, said they would like to see more stories about platonic friendship. While it's true that adolescents want less sex on TV and in movies, what the survey is really saying is that they want more and different kinds of relationships reflected in the media they watch. Now, of course, romance and sex scenes are two different things. You know, you can have the former without the latter, as the early years of Hollywood can attest. But the desire for more platonic relationships displayed on screen is interesting. You know, it's pretty widely understood that people who've grown up in the internet age struggle to connect with other human beings. They struggle to make actual real friendships in real life. So it's no surprise that they would like to see those kinds of relationships modeled by the media they consume. Now, whether those relationships are modeled correctly or in a healthy way is a different question, but that's what they want to see. And Gen Z also revealed surprisingly good taste in other areas as well. It also says this, the study also asked about other facets of entertainment material. Researchers found that most participants, 56%, preferred original content to franchise projects or remakes of pre-existing content. So Gen Z gets this absolutely right, you know, across the board, really. And they're certainly right about we need more original content. And this is, you know, it's unfortunate for the movie studios because they, you know, I don't think that they have, there isn't the artistic talent right now in Hollywood to create compelling original stories. I mean, there's a little bit, but you know, part of the reason why they just churn out the same thing over and over again is because there's a real talent drain that went on. But people are sick and tired, and young people especially are sick and tired of the just the same stories being recycled. And when it comes to sex scenes in movies, sex scenes in movies are always gratuitous and unnecessary. And I think that almost everyone hates them. You know, at some point over the last few decades, they started putting sex scenes in movies, and I think that pretty much the entire audience has always agreed that we don't really want this. They're incredibly uncomfortable to watch, especially with company. I mean, like, we've all been in situations where you're watching a movie with your parents or something, and then suddenly a sex scene starts, and there's no way to respond in a way that isn't, like, you don't want to sit there and watch it with family members, but at the same time, if you fast forward it, then you're sort of acknowledging what's on the screen, plus now you're watching it faster. So no matter what you do, it's awkward, and either way, it's uncomfortable. And even if you're watching the movie by yourself, like, the scene may be less embarrassing if there's no company, but it's still unnecessary. Like, if we see the characters go into a bedroom and shut the door, we get it. We get the picture. We understand. We don't need to see it happen. I don't know. Is there anyone? And you can have, look, as I said, you can have a full romance story and not show a single sex scene. That's what they did in the 40s, and it worked just fine. I'm not sure who in the audience wants to see this kind of thing. Like, who is the person who really loves sex scenes in movies? What weird loser really just needs to see that stuff? Is there anyone who is less likely to watch a movie if it doesn't have a sex scene? Because I know there's a lot of people who are less likely to watch it if they hear, and I'm one of them, you hear it's a good movie, oh, but there's a bunch of gratuitous sex scenes. It's like, okay, now I'm not as interested in watching it anymore. Is there anyone who hears that, oh, there's a bunch of sex, oh, now I have to watch that? Maybe there are, but that's not the audience that you need to appease anyway, or should want to appease. So again, Gen Z is right. Now, with that said, most likely the reason why Gen Z, or part of the reason why, at least, they don't want the sex scenes in movies is, unfortunately, that they are saturated with graphic sexual content all the time already. I mean, many of them have been tragically exposed to hardcore pornography since they were young kids, right? The average age of first exposure to pornography is now, it was 10 years old a few years ago, so I don't know what age it is now. And they're just totally jaded by it. They're way overexposed to it. It's way oversaturated, and that's a big part of the reason why they don't need or want to see it in a film. It's the same reason why Gen Z as a generation is actually less sexually active than previous generations were at their age, early 20s. You know, that's a pretty well-known phenomenon. And it's as much as I would like to say that it's a sign of traditional values being restored in that generation, and there might be some of that, but I think more than that, it's that many of them are isolated, staring at screens, surrounded by pornography all the time. So the reason for this change and this shift in preferences is far from ideal. The reason is actually terrible for that generation. And it speaks to how society truly has failed these young people completely. But ultimately, they're right about the sex scenes in movies anyway. And I think, again, this is just almost everyone feels this way. I think we'd all be fine if it's just we don't need that in movies anymore. Let's all move on with our lives. I'll have more to say on this in just a minute after a word from our sponsor.
If you're young and healthy, term life insurance should be quick and painless. In fact, if you're 40 years old and in great health, $1 million of term insurance could cost less than $30 a month with no exam and could be issued the same day. But if you aren't a perfect specimen, that's where choosing the right insurance agent could save you thousands of dollars on your premium. If you're overweight or have health issues that come with getting older, you need to call Big Lou. Big Lou has the same issues as you and still knows how to get you quick and painless coverage if you have a few extra pounds, have diabetes, or stop breathing a few times per night. In fact, many 40-year-old clients can still get coverage without an exam and up to $1 million of coverage for less than $100 per month. Call Big Lou today to see how quick and painless life insurance can be at 800-353-9057. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-353-9057. That's 800-353-9057 or biglou.com.
Sponsored by Term Provider.
All right, Daily Mail has this report. A woman from Florida who claims she was rushed into taking hormone-warping drugs is suing the doctors who gave her testosterone as a child. Isabel Ayala, now 20, claims that doctors ignored the fact that she has autism, ADHD, and suffers from PTSD, anxiety disorder, bipolar disorder, and depression when she was prescribed the drugs used to transition her to a boy, not really to a boy, but as to transition at the age of 14. She was given the hormone injections after just two appointments, after discovering the concept of being trans on Instagram, which led her to believe that she was born in the wrong body. Very familiar story here. 14 years old, is not even aware of the concept of being trans until she sees it on Instagram and Tumblr and sees it and says, well, that must be me, goes into the doctor, and apparently two appointments is all it takes before she was given hormone injections. She's now left in daily pain, including vaginal dryness, burning, and itching, which usually occurs after menopause, and is unsure about her ability to have children in the future. Ms. Ayala is suing the doctors who treated her and the American Academy of Pediatrics and Association of Children's Doctors that she claims knowingly misled the public in publishing and disseminating a fraudulent policy statement on affirmative care that has been perceived by many as an authoritative guide for the treatment of gender-confused children in the U.S. Also, Michelle Forcier says, over 6 months into taking testosterone, Isabel saw Dr. Michelle Forcier at the Hasbro Children's Clinic and told her that she had been increasingly depressed and anxious over the past several months, but Dr. Forcier did nothing to slow the transition process. Dr. Forcier is among the country's most prominent figures on gender-affirming hormones and care plans. Now, if this all sounds familiar, it's because this is the second lawsuit we've talked about over the past week. The last one was from a woman in similar circumstances who's also suing over her quote-unquote transition. And the chicken lady, Michelle Forcier, is named in both of those lawsuits. So similar cases, but two different cases. The big detail here and the big difference is that the AAP, the American Academy of Pediatrics, is being sued in this case, which is great news that they're being sued. These medical organizations adopted this radical gender ideology wholesale, and they made this change practically overnight. And they absolutely knew that what they were doing is harmful to kids. They knew that. And they deserve to be sued into bankruptcy for it. They deserve to go to prison. A lot of AAP officials and these individual pediatricians should be hauled away in handcuffs because they sterilized and castrated thousands of kids for no valid medical reason. And again, they know it. They all know it. They all know what they've done and why they've done it. And the why is money, politics, ideology, definitely not medicine. You know, as I said about the last lawsuit, this is the next necessary step. It's a necessary thing that for these people to be held accountable in court, where they will not be able to defend themselves. I mean, they'll have the opportunity to defend themselves, but they're not going to be able to because what they've done is indefensible. And I know you might say, well, activist judges, nothing's going to happen, etc. You know, and you might be right in some cases, but you know, you have to sue anyway. And besides, I think. Here's my prediction, and maybe I'll end up being wrong about this. I hope I'm not, but I think that you're going to be surprised by how these detransitioners do in court, how well they do in court. I think you're going to be surprised by that. I think that very soon we're going to see a massive judgment in favor of one of these detrans victims, like millions and millions of dollars. I don't know if it'll be this case, but I think that will happen soon. And I'll tell you why. Because to begin with, they have an airtight case. The doctors have no case. They have no justification. They have no defense. And they know it. Everybody knows it. And what's going to happen is that the case for child mutilation will fall apart quickly. I mean, it's already falling apart. It's already the whole house of cards has long since tumbled. And so I think you'll be surprised by the number of judges who want to get on the right side of this thing now. So I that's what I would predict, that, you know, gender ideology as an ideology is not going to go away anytime soon. The fight continues. But I believe that the transing of kids in particular, that particular form of barbaric evil, I think its days are numbered. It's just unsustainable. It is unsustainable to do this to kids on such a massive scale with no coherent justification for it. It's just simply, it cannot continue. And I think you're going to find, and we already are seeing more and more people who are not conservative who are trying to get on the right side of this thing now because they see what's happening. And they don't want to be left as the last person, like, holding the bag, still defending the castration and sterilization of kids. So that's my, if we can call it, optimistic take, I suppose, as optimistic as you can be given the circumstances. We'll be right back with more after a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. the needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
We'll take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Don't go anywhere.
Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Do you have that story inside you just waiting to be shared with the world? We have great news. NaNoWriMo is coming. This November is National Novel Writing Month, and the local writing community is gathering to support local writers and stores. Find out how to get involved by heading to NaNoWriMo.org or finding the Writing Roots team on social media. By working together, this November may be the month your dream becomes a reality.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Fire Radio.
What's being hidden from us? About the COVID-19 scenario? About covert climate engineering operations that are wreaking havoc with weather all over the world? About the totality of unfolding and accelerating global environmental collapse? If you're willing to face and investigate shocking, verifiable realities that mainstream media sources and their distract and divide talking heads will never tell you, tune into the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour, Saturday at 11 a.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
And required to qualify.
Welcome back to the Matt Walsh Show. So we've discussed a lot of serious topics on the show this week, and here we are at the last segment on a Friday, and this would be a good time to lighten the mood and talk about something a bit more fun and humorous, but unfortunately, we can't do that today. Not after our intern Holly informed me of a recent trend on TikTok, and it may be the worst one of all. It's a trend called girl math. There are a bunch of videos explaining this concept. Here's one that I think lays it out pretty clearly. Watch.
So, for example, if you spend $100 and you get a $10 reward, you just made $10.
That's not accurate. That's not how that works.
Yeah, because now in a future purchase, you just saved yourself $10. If you return an item at the store, you just earn money. So if you return something and buy something at the same time, it was free.
No, because you had to spend the money the first time.
No, but then the second time it's free because it's no extra money. Or, like, if you pay for cash with something, it's free because it's not coming out of your bank account.
I feel like...
Or this one's so good. Like, if you go to Starbucks or Dunkin' and you use your app, you scan and pay, it's free. Because that money was already there.
I'm never going to have money. Never.
What do you mean?
Is this your mindset when you go to a store? Honestly, is this how you...
How girl math works.
Girl math isn't a thing!
Right, so that's girl math. And as you can see, as you already expected, girl math is just bad math. It's not math. It's anti-math. And now, in this age of egalitarianism, it won't surprise you to learn that apparently there's also a boy math trend. But we don't need to watch any of those videos. We already know what boy math is. Boy math is also known as math. It's just regular math, rooted in the basic principles of arithmetic and other fundamental mathematical concepts, whereas girl math is rooted in wishes and dreams and magic fairy dust. And I'm very familiar with girl math myself. My wife uses this form of calculation all the time. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation quite similar to what you just heard in that clip. Very often I'll come home from work and there'll be a new piece of decor in the living room that my wife decided we desperately needed. And of course, I won't notice the item. She could remodel the entire living room and I would not notice. This is one of the great many stereotypes that is nearly 100% accurate. As a man, I will fail to notice major physical changes made inside the house, but I will notice if somebody changes the setting on the thermostat by 1 degree in either direction. And these are cliches for a reason. Anyway, invariably, my wife will call attention to the new item and she'll say something like, "Didn't you notice the new lamp? I got a new lamp. It really ties the room together." Now, I thought the room was already tied together. It certainly didn't seem in any way untied before this. So I'll look at the lamp and I will say, "Tell me how much you spent on it, and then I'll tell you how great it is." Because the lamp's beauty entirely depends on how expensive it was. There's an inverse relationship between how expensive it is and how beautiful I think it is. Tell me the lamp's $3 at a garage sale, and I will admire it as the most beautiful lamp ever crafted by human hands. That'll be my response, or worse to that effect. But then my wife will tell me that the lamp was not $3, it was like $85. And I'll inform her that I could have bought her 5 lamps at Walmart for that price. Okay, on that budget, I could get a lamp for every room in the house. You want lamps? I'll get lamps. I'll get you all the lamps you want for less than that. I have nothing against lamps, but why do you need to spend $85 on one? And that's when the girl math kicks in, and she'll inform me that the lamp was originally $185, so she saved $100. In fact, she'll tell me she actually made us $100. She came away with $100 in profit by finding this sweet deal on this lamp, which would kind of be true in a certain way if somebody had put a gun to her head and demanded that she buy a lamp worth $185. In that scenario, and you're forced to buy a lamp, and you found a lamp marked down from $185 to $85, then we might be able to say, in essence, that you saved $100. But fortunately, there's no lamp-obsessed gunman forcing us to make a lamp purchase. So the other option, instead of the $85 lamp, was no lamp at all, which means that we didn't save $100, we lost $85. The fact that in some theoretical universe, this lamp would have cost more than it does, doesn't help us. It doesn't put money back in our bank account. Besides, I'm not convinced that we need any lamps at all in the first place. Nobody had lamps for thousands of years and they survived. It may seem extreme, but I believe in being frugal. Unless we're talking about fishing tackle, which I need a lot of, and the highest quality, spare no expense. That's different though, because if society ever collapses and we're back in the Stone Age and we need to survive off of fish and wild forage, that lamp will do us no good. The fishing tackle will save our lives. Think about it. Anyway, this isn't about me. It's about complaining about women. So back to girl math. Think about it this way. Here's a helpful illustration. Imagine if somebody burned down half of our house. Imagine that we came home and found that some guy was standing there with matches and a can of gasoline, and half of our house was reduced to smoldering ash. Now imagine that we ran up to that guy and we shouted, "You burned down half of our house. We're very upset about this." The dialogue isn't realistic, but that's not the point. The point is, imagine if the guy responded by saying, no, you see, I was going to burn down your whole house, but instead I only burned down half. So really, I just gave you half a house. You're welcome. Now, I think we would find that logic quite unpersuasive given the circumstances. And that's basically girl math, which also, by the way, applies not just to money, but to time. Girl math for time, it's a bit more simple. You know, this one everyone knows. anytime a woman gives you a time estimate for something, multiply it by at least two, sometimes three. It varies a little bit by woman. Classic example, of course, if she says it's going to take her half an hour to get ready, budget for an hour. If she tells you that it'll take 20 minutes to drive somewhere, assume it'll be 45 minutes. But this at least is slightly more justified because time is relative. So on planets where the force of gravity is stronger, time passes more slowly. Do women experience gravity more than men somehow? Could that explain it? Further research is needed. I don't know. But while your wife's time estimates may not be accurate on this planet, there are planets in the universe where they would be accurate, theoretically. The lamp, on the other hand, the lamp is too expensive on every planet. And that is why girl math is today canceled. That's all we have for today and this week. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday. Until then, Godspeed.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A late press conference Friday night to announce the body of suspected mass shooter Robert Card was found in the woods near Lisbon, Maine, with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Commissioner Mike Shawchuk with Maine's Department of Public Safety says they waited to tell the press the Card's body was found earlier in the evening.
Because we wanted to talk to the victims' families. We wanted to say this is coming. It's important that they heard that information as close to first as anybody else. And you know who else we called? It was the family of the suspect. So they lost a loved one in this scenario, and there were many of that family that was very cooperative with us throughout.
Card was wanted in the mass shooting that killed 18 people and wounded nearly 30 others Wednesday night. Florida Senator Rick Scott is calling on President Biden to revoke the visa for Iran's foreign minister.
Scott issued the call after the Iranian official said in a speech before the UN General Assembly that if the Israel-Hamas war escalates, the U.S., quote, won't be spared from the fire of the war in the region. Scott says the U.S. cannot tolerate threats from what he calls terrorism sponsors and wrote to the president in a post on X, revoke his visa now, he is not welcome in America. Bob Agner reporting.
U.S. fighter jets launched airstrikes early Friday on two locations in eastern Syria linked to Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps. Air Force Brigadier General Pat Ryder says the strikes were in retaliation.
I think we've been crystal clear that we maintain the inherent right of defending our troops, and we will take all necessary measures to protect our forces and our interests overseas. As it relates to these groups, again, we know that these are Iranian-backed militia groups that are supported by Iran, and of course, we hold Iran responsible for these groups.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
This relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
From the studio that brought you Sound of Freedom comes After Death.
What happens after you die?
A new cinematic experience that explores some of life's biggest questions with expert interviews and firsthand accounts.
I never felt alive and then dead. I felt alive and then more alive.
I heard a voice before I woke up. You still have a purpose on Earth.
After Death. In theaters now. Get your tickets today or pay it forward at angel.com/afterdeath.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak warns against moving too fast on regulating artificial intelligence before it's fully understood.
As authorities around the world scramble to draw up guardrails for artificial intelligence, Sunak warned about acting too quickly, even as he outlined a host of risks that AI could bring. He said only governments are able to keep people safe from AI's risks. Sunak adds it shouldn't be left up to the tech companies developing it.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting, Sunak is hosting a summit next week that's focusing on the risk from so-called frontier artificial intelligence. These are cutting-edge systems that can carry out a wide range of tasks but could contain unknown risk to public safety and security. Mexican officials say they're moving supplies into Acapulco and getting people out of the devastated city 3 days after Hurricane Otis pummeled the Pacific coast there. News and analysis at townhall.com. The National Zoo's three popular giant pandas will be heading home a little earlier than expected. Correspondent Norman Hall has that.
Zoo officials tell the Associated Press that adult bears Mei Zhang, Tian Tian, and their cub, Shou Qi Ji, will be returning to China sometime in mid-November. The bears have been a wildly popular attraction and an unofficial symbol of the nation's capital for decades. The zoo's exchange agreement with the Chinese government, originally brokered by President Richard Nixon 50 years ago, expires December 7th. Ongoing negotiations to extend the agreement haven't produced results. Norman Hall, Washington.
Striking auto workers may be nearing a labor deal with GM. Talks are continuing between the UAW and General Motors after intense negotiations. The deal will be based on the tentative agreement that was reached earlier this week with Ford. Auto workers have been on strike since September 14th. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hey, it's Cindy at Laux Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road, and we're excited to celebrate our 4th anniversary here at Laux Landscape Supply. So October 20th through the 29th is your chance to save big on products like 50-pound Dimension Pre-Emergent, on sale for $32.99 a bag, or our popular Garden Power Soil for only $51.99 a yard. Great timing to put in sod, and it's on sale as low as 71 cents a square foot. Or how about the new Mocha Lava Rock, reduced to $79.99 a yard? Building a patio or walkway? Artisan Slate Pavers are on sale for $3.99 a square foot. Ranger Pro Concentrate in a 2.5-gallon jug is only $79.99, and even cheaper if you buy two. These are just a few of the items you'll find on sale at Laux Landscape Supply October 20th through the 29th at the corner of Dersh, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Give us a call at 530-378-2220. Find us on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com, or just come see us at 6023 Turn Creek Road. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Hi, this is Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 248th birthday November 10th at Wind River Event Center. All are invited to come and celebrate this special event that includes March On of Colors, the Jefferson Pipes and Drums, and honoring our oldest and youngest Marines present, and much more.
Tickets are $35 and includes dinner and birthday cake and dancing. Tickets can be obtained through Eventbrite, Marine Corps 248th birthday. For more information, call 530-605-4565.
Thwarted Biden inquiry. No follow-up on determination of credible bribery evidence. Because we live in a very corrupt time in the United States of America, and so much of our federal government has been corrupted by the left and the permanent bureaucracy. They're dug in, and they know that power is something to be abused. So they secure power, and then they abuse it. Naturally, they're not liberals. They're the left. But an extraordinary story about this, the federal employees who wanted to do their job, but again and again, at every turn, they were cut off by the FBI, by the Justice Department. Sure, millions and millions of dollars flowing into the Biden family coffers from corrupt actors all over the world. But pay no attention to that. And when people did try to pay attention to it, you know, one of my old sayings, I have a lot of old sayings, don't I? One of my old sayings is, nothing gets you in trouble like the truth. And in Washington, D.C., if you come forward and you attempt to tell the truth about leading Democrats like Joe Biden and the Biden family, well, the permanent bureaucracy is there to cut you off at the pass, as it were. And a big update on that from yesterday that I wish to share with you. Also, there is a new Speaker of the House, and you may be aware, Mike Johnson of Louisiana. And the Washington Times also has the story, Democrats waste no time hitting Johnson. They're hitting Johnson. Will campaign on MAGA extremists. This is what they're doing. And then they're supporting Hamas in the next breath. MAGA extreme. Wait, make America great again. Extremism in defense of liberty is no vice. Part of a famous quote from American politics. But the Democrat Party, they're not on our side. Not on our side at all. Also, there's a madman still on the loose in Maine or thereabouts, having murdered 18 people and wounded 13 more. And lots of law enforcement rolled in. I don't know if you watch any of the video of law enforcement rolling in, looking for this lunatic with, a combat-style assault rifle. And I don't know if it's full auto or burst or what it is, but it's an AR-15-style rifle, but it may be the actual military version, an M4. And in any case, he murdered 18 and wounded 13, and then he ran off in his Subaru. He had a Subaru. And he dumped his Subaru near the water's edge and left the door open like he fled in a hurry. And I said yesterday, and I'll say it again today, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we found him floating somewhere. If he's a floater, it would be appropriate and unsurprising if he committed suicide. The police are on the hunt, and I noticed in the videos a lot of law enforcement are carrying AR-15 style rifles, and many of them arrived in what you might call armored vehicles. You remember Joe Biden angrily demanding that law enforcement stop using armored vehicles? Oh, you're threatening the neighborhoods, and he made up all this idiotic stuff because he's brain damaged, very severely brain damaged, as you know. Yesterday, we saw police using light armored vehicles, but enough to sustain gunfire from an AR-15 or an M4 rifle. And that's appropriate because we'd like our law enforcement to not be murdered by this lunatic who was in a mental asylum just a few months ago for weeks and probably shouldn't have been let out, delete probably, and don't they have these red flag laws, like where you're committed to a mental institution, and maybe at that point they should take away your rifles? I know we've talked about that a lot for about 30 years, and the Democrats been pushing for all this. Now they, Joe Biden pushing for more, bans. See, what they do not want to ban, they want to make mandatory. And of course, liberals don't care what you do as long as it's mandatory. So we've got those items to share with you today. In addition to more Democrat Party stuff, the State Department yesterday put out a statement on Intersex Awareness Day. Intersex Awareness Day. They've got a day of intersex awareness, and the State Department was observing it yesterday. It is embarrassing for everyone. What is an intersex person, Michael? Yeah, nobody knows. They don't even know. They have days. They don't even know what they're for. But we do know that they're suffering from gender dysphoria, the entire Democratic Party, I think, at this point. They're quite confused. They tell children that the boys might not be boys and the girls might not be girls, and that those aren't their only choices. They've got, in some cases, dozens, scores, more than 100 choices when it comes to gender because Democrats. That's the thing. Yeah, but yesterday, the State Department, Intersex Awareness Day. How do you think that's going over in most of the sane world, to the extent that we have a sane world remaining? The Washington Post very excited today to announce that the left has melted down out of bitterness like the Taliban, because they're so much like the Taliban these days. Are they, Michael, do you think the Democrat Party is more like the Taliban today or Hamas? More, you think, leaning Hamas, leaning Taliban?
Too much Bible study in the Taliban.
Maybe too much Bible study from the Taliban. Inside, it's quite amazing. Inside the secretive melting of Civil War monument, Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee, who was a Confederate general who worked for the Confederate president, Jefferson Davis, who was the Democrat. And, of course, Abraham Lincoln, the Republican, who was naturally murdered by a Democrat, the first Republican president ever. But pay no attention to that. But the Democrats, and they're excited at the Washington Post, they melted down a statue of Robert E. Lee because they're the Taliban. And, you know, you could take it, put it in a museum or something. But no, they sawed the face off and they melted it down and they brought camera crews and they brought the Washington Post. And like, kalaka laka, Muhammad Jihad, I think is kind of what they said. Pretty amazing stuff. That is your Democrat Party. And Robert E. Lee statue that sparked Charlottesville riot is melted down like his face was crying, is the headline. It's making international news all over the world, because the Democrats are erasing their history. They continue to erase their history. Speaking of Democrats, there was an intruder arrested twice, not once, but twice, because the Democrats let him go after the first arrest. Intruder arrested twice Wednesday at RFK Jr.'s home. What's this? Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's now running for president as an independent because the Democrats forced him out of the Democrat Party. He's a member of the Kennedy family. His father was assassinated by Sirhan Sirhan, who the Democrats paroled in California recently. Still waiting for Gavin Newsom to sign the paperwork to let him out of prison, but the California Parole Board said, sure, you can go. Maybe you'd like to date my daughter, they thought. But intruder arrested twice Wednesday at RFK's home, RFK Jr.'s home. And RFK tweeted, yesterday an intruder climbed the fence at my home and was arrested. After being released from police custody later in the day, he immediately returned to my home and was arrested again. Was it Sirhan, Sirhan, Sirhan? If Sirhan, Sirhan had a son, would it be Sirhan, Sirhan, Sirhan? I think that's a legitimate question, isn't it? I'm not sure how that carries on in the Islamic world, but there it is. So an intruder showed up, climbed the fence, arrested. That's good. Then they brought him down, you know, to book him for being a potential political assassin. And then they said, oh, you can go. Because Democrats love to let criminals go. They love criminals. But anyone that doesn't sing from their sheet music, you know, can die. That's the thing about that. Immediately returned to my home and was arrested again after being immediately released, after being released in no time at all. Because your Democrat Party believes that criminals should not be incarcerated, but should be back on the street to commit crime again, which is why homicides are skyrocketing, carjackings are off the charts, looting is commonplace in America today, mob street violence, including last night in New York City, The pro-Hamas Democrat Party mob was out there, and they were chanting again. They had to, they freshened up their chant a little bit last night. It's still genocidal, and the Democrat Party is, you know, they're good with that because they are genocidal, because they're not liberals. They're the left. Keep that in mind. That makes all the difference in the world. Once you find that light switch in your head and flip it, wait a minute, they really aren't liberals. Chris Plant was right. They're the left. You bet your bottom dollar they are. Crazy, man. Crazy. Jewish Studio City family says break-in suspect wanted to kill them because of their faith. This is in Los Angeles, California, Studio City. Home invasion broke in. Wanted to murder them because, you know, Jews. That's the thing. Republican Congresswoman, who the media just despise, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the anger, the rage against Marjorie Taylor Greene is uncommon. Marjorie Taylor Greene moves to censure Democrat Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, who is a jihadi, for, quote, leading an anti-American and anti-Semitic insurrection. And again, the insurrection was alive and well on college campuses. It is alive and well on college campuses. They were marching day before yesterday. Last night in New York City, the mob of Democrat-voting jihadis, and that's what they are. They are the useful idiots of the jihad, and a lot of them are college professors and college administrators and certainly college students, and the rest are college graduates because they went there to be brainwashed and indoctrinated. They're not sure what gender they are. They know they're lefties, and they're pretty sure they're jihadis. You know, the Democrats have had a long string of suicide attacks here in the United States, attacking the Capitol Police at U.S. Capitol Police on Capitol Hill, murdering one, severely wounding another, suicide attack, Democrat, radical. Suicide attack where Steve Scalise, Congressman Steve Scalise, was shot. A Bernie Sanders volunteer tried to mow down an entire baseball field of Republican members of Congress in a suicide attack. Suicide attack against NYPD officers Ramos and Liu in New York City. Suicide attack against the police at a Black Lives Matter rally in Dallas. Suicide attack against the police in Baton Rouge. Yep. So we got some stories for you today. I'll tell you. Good ones, and we are at 888-630-9625. I wish the Democrats would take a week off. Do they ever stop? The answer is no. It's a rhetorical question. They never stop. The true fanatics, the true extremists in the United States of America, perhaps the greatest threat to civilization is the left having secured power the way they have in the United States of America. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Do you have nasty odors in your home you just can't get rid of? Now you can get rid of any stinky odor with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The Thunderstorm gets rid of strong odors from cooking, cigarette smoke, litter boxes, trash cans. Even that mildewy smell from the basement is no match. The Thunderstorm starts working in seconds to clear any room of any odor. Plus, there are no costly filters to buy and replace. With more than 350,000 Thunderstorms already sold, thousands of five-star reviews online, you know it works like a champ. And this week, I've got a great deal for you to help you get your own Thunderstorm. Right now, you can save $200 American on three Eden Pure Thunderstorms for whole home protection. That's three units for under $200. Just go to EdenPureDeals.com, use the discount code Chris. That's EdenPureDeals.com, the discount code is Chris, plus you get free shipping.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more Straight Talk. Now you can get a Walmart Plus membership, plus not pay for it, because it's included with Straight Talk wireless plans. You get free delivery with Walmart Plus, plus a Paramount Plus subscription included. Plus, you pay less for gas. That's a lot of pluses.
Only Straight Talk gives you unlimited 5G data and Walmart Plus included on select plans for free.
Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart.
Requires service on Gold or Platinum Unlimited. One offer per eligible account. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. Additional terms apply.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? Because only the Sleep Number Climate 360 smart bed lets you each sleep up to 13 degrees cooler or warmer on either side. While you both sleep at your ideal level of firmness, comfort, and support, your Sleep Number setting. And now our all-new next-gen smart beds have temperature benefits, so you sleep better night after night. And now, save up to $500 on our new Sleep Number smart beds, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
If you're young and healthy, term life insurance should be quick and painless. In fact, if you're 40 years old and in great health, $1 million of term insurance could cost less than $30 a month with no exam and could be issued the same day. But if you aren't a perfect specimen, that's where choosing the right insurance agent could save you thousands of dollars on your premium. If you're overweight or have health issues that come with getting older, you need to call Big Lou. Big Lou has the same issues as you and still knows how to get you quick and painless coverage if you have a few extra pounds, have diabetes, or stop breathing a few times per night. In fact, many 40-year-old clients can still get coverage without an exam and up to $1 million of coverage for less than $100 per month. Call Big Lou today to see how quick and painless life insurance can be at 800-353-9057. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-353-9057. That's 800-353-9057 or BigLou.com.
Sponsored by Term Provider.
Sports allow us to play, learn, and grow. But there's something more important than victory. At the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, we believe every athlete deserves to be safe. Safe from abuse and misconduct on and off the field. We equip athletes, parents, coaches, and others with the right education to recognize, prevent, and respond to harmful behavior. Join the movement to champion respect and end abuse at uscenterforsafesport.org.
Advertisement sponsored by Allied Injury Group, not available in all states. This important message from Allied Injury Group reminds you that if you or someone you love was injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, you deserve financial compensation for your medical expenses, lost wages, pain, and suffering. Don't rely on insurance companies to look out for you. If you haven't spoken to an attorney, call our legal experts now. Work accident, truck accident, collision with an uninsured driver, or a slip and fall. Allied Injury Group has helped clients win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages. They're available 24/7 to take your call and fight for you. Remember, if you or someone you love suffered injuries in an accident that wasn't your fault, like being struck by a drunk driver, a collision with an 18-wheeler, or a victim of workplace negligence or more, get the financial compensation you deserve. Call Allied Injury Group for a free consultation now.
Call 800-781-1815. That's 800-781-1815. Again, 800-781-1815.
Omaha Steaks semi-annual sale covers your cravings with 50% off site-wide. That's half off tender, juicy, extra-aged steaks like their butcher's cut filet mignons. Order at omahasteaks.com, use code GARDEN at checkout and get an extra $30 off. Endless flavor and value on incredible Omaha Steaks entrees, scrumptious sides, and decadent desserts. Go to omahasteaks.com, use code GARDEN at checkout today. Minimum purchase may apply.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
So this family in Los Angeles, a Jewish family, minding their own business in their home, and a crazier than anybody, a Palestinian. It turns out the guy, the knife wielding lunatic, in only his underwear, attacked the family in their Studio City home. Wanted to kill them because he said they're Israeli. And he had a big knife and undies, and he was sweaty and creepy and, you know, not a not a good neighbor type of person. You can tell by the photo of him nearly naked screaming and his tattoos, and he's crazy. Jewish Studio City family says break-in suspect wanted to kill them because of their faith is the headline. A Studio City family that said they're terrified after waking up to a man in his underwear who had broken into their home and threatened to kill them. The family said the intruder wanted to kill them because of their Jewish faith. The officials, police officials are now investigating the break-in as a hate crime. I love that. The Democrats love hate, don't they? Hate is their favorite thing. And then, you know, no, it was a love crime. A lunatic in his underwear with a giant knife wanted to murder the whole family. Of course it's a hate crime. Isn't every crime a hate crime? You really think that there are happy crimes or love crimes or something? Ephrat Myers is 9 months pregnant. She lives at home with her husband and four young children. I've got some news media coverage from this. And what do you hear these college students in New York talking about what it's like to be on a quote-unquote liberal campus in New York City these days?
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Shasta County Supervisor, District 4, inviting you to my fundraising dinner this November 18th. Anderson VFW, doors open at 4 p.m. Lots of great items, trips, and of course, lots of fantastic guns. Barbecue dinner by Rockin' Pete's. I'm proud of the work that we have accomplished this year, and with your support, I'd like to continue. Supervisor Jones's fundraising dinner this November 18th. For tickets, you can go to Jones's Fort or call me at 530-222-3223.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike? Why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Explore the wonder and science of wintry landscapes at Turtle Bay's newest museum exhibition, Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact, on display September 16th through December 31st at Turtle Bay Museum. This exhibit dives deep into the environment, culture, adaptations, and sciences all about snow as a valuable resource. Great for all ages. Snow. Tiny Crystals, Global Impact is presented by Carolina Giramonti in memory of Nickel and Claudia Giramonti. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Riverfront Playhouse presents Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, adapted by Jeffrey Hatcher from the novella Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson. Directed by Lauren Stanfield, a new and shocking twist on the classic tale of depravity, lust, love, and horror. See two sides of a psyche battle each other in a deadly game of cat and mouse to determine who shall be the master and who his slave. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net and enjoy the store reading. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, October 20th through November 4th, sponsored by Audiology Associates at Reading, this station, and other amazing sponsors.
Hey, what's going on in Redding, California? This is Tony Horde with Better Homes and Gardens Results Real Estate. Be sure and tune in to KCNR on your radio dial Wednesdays at 5 p.m. for Living in the North State. Together with my three amazing co-hosts, Rich Howe, Bill Woodford, and Mindy Cochran, we'll be interviewing professionals in the industry and taking your calls to answer all your questions and have a great time doing so. Talk to you then, Redding.
Trout Barbecue from here to the other side of the Mississippi, son, and Smokin' Joe's in Redding, it's the best. St. Louis pork ribs, tri-tip, tender pulled pork, sweet and tangy barbecue chicken, and so much more. Kindly step in or use their convenient drive-thru.
Hey, this is Joe from Smokin' Joe's Barbecue. If you want to try the best barbecue in the North State, try Smokin' Joe's on Airport Road next to Dutch Rose.
Check out Smokin' Joe's Barbecue, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., now open Sundays.
Linda Fott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Fott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike, why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Pushed out into the yard, but Myers said he would not stop screaming. And, of course, he's in his underwear, and he's got his big knife and all that stuff. And he's screaming how he wants to kill them all. Let's go to the local news, because local news is always fun. Let's go to Good Day, L.A.
Gigi Gracietti.
It's Gigi Gracietti of Good Day LA. Of course, Gigi Gracietti, they just call her Gigi Gracietti. And she's the reporter.
Free Palestine.
There's the suspect.
Over and over again, this is what the suspect was yelling as he was being taken into custody after reportedly breaking into a family home at 5:25 this morning.
Man on suspect broken into residence here inside with four children.
The terrified family in Studio City calling 911, asking for help after they say the suspect yelled that he wanted to, quote, kill them because, he reportedly said, they're Israeli.
Israeli, or, you know, close enough anyway. And, you know, this is, honestly, this is what is going on in the United States of America. This is not an isolated incident by any stretch of the imagination. And it is being driven by the jihad in the Middle East, which has been taken up by the left in the United States and the Democrat Party. Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, of course, and AOC and the Jihad Squad, they're all in favor of this, and Bauman and their whole lot of them. Also, Hakeem Jeffries, the Democrat leader in the House of Representatives, of course, was raised by, mentored by, his professor uncle Leonard Jeffries, who is a famous anti-Semite from way, way back. Good Day L.A. And Gigi. I like Gigi. She's doing a good job, Gigi.
Meanwhile, the man, found only wearing underwear, kept on shouting facts and figures about Palestine.
Facts.
And other comments not suitable for television.
The average age of the Palestinian is 19 years old.
That's an interesting, if obscure facts and facts. She said facts. Did you check to see they were facts or are they just claims? Facts and figures about Palestinians. And he's yelling, free, free Palestine, which means he might be an illegal alien, but he's a Democrat voter. He was taken into custody, but did they, Michael, do we know if they just let him go again?
Probably.
Like the guy at the Robert F. Kennedy home? Because, and then Fox LA, Fox 11 LA.
Christina Gonzalez.
It's Christina Gonzalez, covered the story for the Fox affiliate in Los Angeles, California.
The family's sleeping. It's 5 in the morning. The wife, who, by the way, is 9 months pregnant, four small children, and the husband, he jumps out of bed when a man breaks into their bedroom screaming. Now, they say that this is the same man who in the past has been by the house asking for food and water and saying things about their religion, about being Jewish, but that they never imagine it would get to what happened.
It would get to what happened. They never imagined it would get to what happened. And that's probably true. Being a news reporter is different than it used to be. But that's it. He would come by the house. So he's probably like a crazy homeless, you know, maybe illegal alien, Daniel Garcia, and shows up and breaks into their home at 5:25 a.m. with a big knife in his underwear. Screaming about freeing Palestine because they're Jewish, of course. So the Democrat Party has organized the mentally ill. That's one of their very important constituencies, is mentally ill people. And this guy is apparently one of them. But you know what we do with the mentally ill in the United States? We throw them out on the sidewalk and say, son, you're on your own. But what am I going to do for lunch today? You're on your own. Where am I going to sleep tonight? You're on your own. It's time that we started incarcerating the mentally ill and cleaning up our cities. I have pointed out many times before, and I saw, because it's important, and I saw just a couple of days ago someone else take up the mantle that that I honestly have been trying to bring to the attention of American political leaders and of the American people. And that is, in 1963, we had more than 500,000 people in the United States in mental institutions. And today we've got about 45,000 people in mental institutions. And our population has increased by, you know, 130 million people or so in that period of time. But we don't put mentally ill people in mental institutions anymore. One of them just murdered a whole bunch of people, 18 people, and wounded 13 more in Maine. He was in a mental institution weeks ago. this guy, Daniel Garcia, broke into the home of his Jewish neighbors and threatened to murder them all with a big knife. The husband, the man of the household, attacked him, wrestled him, combated him, dragged him into the yard. Then the police came, and the Democrats are against the police, too. You got to keep that in mind. That is, that's amazing. But, you know, 51%, according to a Harvard-Harris poll that came out just days ago, 51% of Americans between the ages of 18 and 24 believe that the murderous attack on October 6th was justified. That's the word that was used in the poll, that it was justified. And that's your Democrat Party. You know why? Democrats. And again, who is this End Wokeness on Twitter the other day posting my stats, a variation on my stats that I've been putting up? End Wokeness on X said in 1955, we had 560,000 people that were patients in mental asylums. Today we have 35,000. 560,000 in 1955, 35,000 today. The rest of them have been thrown onto our streets, mostly but not entirely in big cities. And I'm going to guess that Daniel Garcia is one of the people that really shouldn't be on the street. In fact, maybe he shouldn't be in the United States. I don't know whether he's here legally or not, but it's Southern California. And you may be aware that there's a lot of this going on these days because of Democrats. But Daniel Garcia and Fox 5.
This is actually the mother on the phone, the pregnant mother.
This is mom, the pregnant mother in the household. She's 9 months pregnant. She has four children at home, and her husband, sound asleep, minding their own business, at 5:25 a.m. Her name is Efrat Myers. Efrat Myers.
The guys opened the door, break my door with his leg. He came inside my room. My husband pushed him immediately. He was begging, don't shoot me, but you're Jewish. I'm going to kill you because you're Jewish. Everybody, Israel killing people and trying to say, I saw everything on the protest. He was like, he was drunk, but still he saw so many for like 6-7 minutes. He didn't talk about anything, only because we're Jewish, and he needs to kill us because we're Jewish.
Well, naturally. You know, what else are you supposed to do? It's, come on, this is, it's a, it is a, I heard somebody, I used the turn of phrase, a Ronald Reagan speech from long ago. It is a time of choosing, and I've been using this phrase sporadically for the last couple of weeks, talking about Israel and Hamas. And the Democrat Party has really gone pretty much all in with Hamas. It's not something that I thought I'd ever see. I think most people thought that we'd never see this. But we, I have audio that I want to share with you also from college students in New York City, the city that never sweeps. And it's just appalling what the Democrats have done to American politics and to college campuses and on and on. Just amazing. That's what I'm telling you. And I want to share that with you, a little bit later. Also, I don't know how the weather is where you guys are, but in Washington, D.C., we're having beautiful, beautiful weather. And what it's supposed to be, I think, 78 degrees today and sunny. And so I'm calling on a bunch of friends to come out for happy hour, because it's happy hour. And it's Friday, and it's going to be beautiful, and it's not going to be beautiful for too many weeks more. And here's one of the, and this weekend is going to be 80 degrees and sunny and beautiful in Washington, D.C. Should take full advantage of, can we call it an Indian summer? Is that, has then been prohibited? Because we used to call this Indian summer a little late in the season and getting some Indian summer. Maybe we'll call it like Elizabeth Warren summer. We could call it Elizabeth Warren summer. Or maybe Gypsy summer. Can we call it Gypsy summer? Because we're stealing a few nice days. We're stealing a few more nice days. Pretty amazing stuff. Man, oh man, oh man. We should take a phone call. I haven't taken a phone call yet. It's Friday, and it's great to be an American in spite of it all. Let's go to, let's see, let's go to, let's go to Chris. Let's go to Chris calling from Port Clinton, Ohio, having nothing to do with Bill and Hillary Clinton. Chris, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Hi, Chris.
Hey.
Beautiful day here on the shores of Lake Erie.
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Gorgeous. And Lake Erie's made and Lake Erie is beautiful and clean and crisp and undiscovered at this point, isn't it?
Yes, in some spots you can actually see the bottom when you get out close to Kelly's Island. It's absolutely beautiful.
It is underappreciated. It may be our most underappreciated Great Lake. And it's because, you know, you had like, you know, the red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, you know, when the Cuyahoga River caught on fire decades ago. But the Great Lakes have been cleaned up. They all have in Lake Erie and the islands there. It's just beautiful there, isn't it? Don't tell anybody, though.
Yes, it's absolutely gorgeous. I love the show. Longtime listener, please never quit radio. I love listening to you.
Well, thank you very kindly. I'll try. I have no intention of quitting ever, actually.
Yeah. Please. And I know where there's 525 very unstable, mentally incapacitated people that should be incarcerated immediately.
Tell me, you're crazy people? Because we were just talking about the, you know, 560,000 people that were institutionalized in 1955, but you say you know where there are 525 mentally ill people that should be incarcerated down the road from me?
Yep, right down the road from you. Like, immediately they need to go.
And that is?
Oh, well, that's our politicians.
Yeah, the Congress, of course. It's the Congress, yeah.
Congress and Senate, yeah.
Yeah, there are 535. You're right. We've got the Congress. We've talked about just putting. Remember when Nancy Pelosi put a fence around the entire Capitol building and the Capitol Hill? That was a great opportunity. We should have made that permanent and kept them in.
Absolutely. Completely insane people.
Completely insane people, and it is nuts out there, isn't it, Chris? I mean, you know you live you live in America. You're surrounded by pretty much normal people, right? Hey, where did he go? You're surrounded in Port Clinton, Ohio. You got normal people there, don't you?
Absolutely, very normal people.
Very normal people. Can you imagine that? See,
very American. Very, very patriotic.
I'm moving to Port Clinton, Ohio. Chris, thank you very much, buddy. Thanks for the call. And you're right. We've got, and honestly, the streets of Washington, D.C., and practically every block, any place where there are people walking around, there are crazy, mentally ill people, and it's true that a lot of them are members of Congress.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The brain is unpredictable. Sometimes it works with you, and sometimes it gives you a hard time. But one thing's for sure. Getting your thoughts out is therapeutic. If you keep them bottled up, you can get exhausted, overwhelmed, or prone to outbursts. When you talk to a BetterHelp therapist, you can just say what's on your mind. In fact, the more honest you are about your thoughts, the better your therapist can help you sort out what's most important. And that makes you a better parent, friend, colleague, you name it. Life doesn't owe us any favors, but finding happiness doesn't have to feel impossible. With BetterHelp, just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a licensed therapist who shares your values. And it's easy to switch therapists anytime, for no additional charge. Plus, you can schedule appointments that are convenient to your schedule. Give it a try, and say whatever's on your mind, with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/express today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/express.
You can live out your MasterChef dream when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I'm Georgios. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol. My hair started to thin. I took a pharmaceutical drug, but I suffered from sexual dysfunction. Having to choose between my hair and my health was not really a great choice. Nutrafol, the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand. Keep growing at Nutrafol.com/men. That's Nutrafol.com/men.
These statements and products have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There is a tremendous price war in the term life industry. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man aged 45, non-smoker, can get $1 million of coverage for $75 per month, level rate for 10 years. Or a man aged 50, non-smoker, can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of $110, level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-smoker rate class. Exam required to qualify.
Paid for by Wesley Financial Group.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the five ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get this timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Call 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
When you call Consumer Cellular's customer support to discuss our affordable and flexible phone plans, it's like you're calling the Declaration of Independence or a hot dog at a baseball game. Because Consumer Cellular's customer support is based entirely in the United States. And Consumer Cellular's customer support agents are from where you're from. The same small town that you're from. The one that stretches from California to Maine, Minnesota to Corpus Christi, Texas. The one that cares about its neighbors and lights fireworks. Legal ones in the street. So the next time you want to make a phone call that feels like an American flag waving at an air show at magic hour, give us a call. Even if it's for no reason at all except to exchange barbecue sauce recipes like a couple of Americans. Or make jokes about Canadians. LOL. Just kidding. We love Canadians. They're our neighbors. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Now, I want to share with you this Second Amendment moment. The Second Amendment is, of course, the amendment that guarantees all the other amendments. And in Studio City, California, when I believe the family is Israeli, the man of the house with the home invader with a knife in his underwear telling him he's going to kill them because they're Jews, Mendel Myers, and I think they may actually be Israeli, Mendel Myers told the news media that when the crazy man with a knife was standing there in his underwear in their house at 5:25 in the morning with his 9-month pregnant wife and his four other little kids in the house, the crazy person came in and he pretended to have a gun, even though he didn't have a gun. And he's yelling, "Get my gun, get my gun." And the home invader freaked out because he just thought the mere suggestion that Mendel Myers might have a gun to pull out on him.
I jumped to the bed and I pushed him outside, first of all. And I start to scream for my wife, bring me the gun.
Meyer says he does not own a gun, but was the only thing that came to mind to protect his pregnant wife and four kids from the intruder.
I started screaming, I'm going to shoot you, and he got scared. He picked up his hand up, and he told me, don't shoot, don't shoot.
He told him, I'm going to shoot you, and he got scared and put his hands up and said, don't shoot, don't shoot, even though he didn't have a gun. This Second Amendment moment brought to you by The Chris Plant Show. Boy, that is, that's really something. Real quick, we don't have any time at all, but I think Jim in Louisa, Virginia. Jim, you're on The Chris Plant Show.
Hey, Chris. Happy, beautiful Friday. Louisa, an island of Normal and Central Virginia where everybody is armed. So anyway, but growing up in Chicago, you're no doubt familiar with the Butterfield Blues Band, but their very first song and their very first album, the very first line, it's called Born in Chicago, but your comment that you're on your own, it kind of reminds me of this, but the song goes, I was born in Chicago in 1941. My daddy told me, son, you better get a gun. And he goes on to sing about gun violence in Chicago in the early 60s is when this album was released. But anyway, it kind of fits with your topics today.
It sure does. It certainly does. And we pulled up the song, actually. Because we were just listening to, we were singing along. And also I know...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.